United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned as head of the PTL club.
Let's go. also talk to Tracy and friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll-free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
No, listen to the words. The question is, why have I lost you? Yes. And this is going out to the Denver Broncos.
Let's talk about
Peyton Manning.
Cleveland Browns was in there last night.
You know, I told somebody, you're the reason why they lost. Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600 because you said they were the Denver Browns.
Denver Broncos.
And you associated a winning team with the Browns and see what happened. Do you realize, that, you know, you're still not supposed to do that?
I felt that it was my fault.
What happened to the love?
It was my fault, Tracy.
What happened to the love?
Hey,
what happened?
Tracy.
Listen to this.
People change.
How can a whole team change all at one time? If I'm not mistaken, it was like something to zero?
Yes, it all boils down to
they ended up with 8 points.
8 points.
43-8.
Exactly how I it didn't make any sense.
I mean, I'm not a football fan, but it was kind of like watching a train wreck. You just couldn't take your eyes off of it.
And they tell me the Super Bowl halftime show. It was like going to a historically black college game.
Oh yeah.
People turned the channel until the halftime show.
I'm gonna tell you what.
I loved the halftime show until the white guy with no shirt.
Chili Peppers.
Yeah.
Chili Peppers.
Yeah. That just ruined everything.
That's what a friend of mine who's a musician said.
It was a great show. It was very entertaining.
It was great.
No. No.
A lot of people said it was good. A lot of people said it was bad. It was all in who you ask.
Nobody could say that my man was not good.
Who?
Oh, Bruno Mars.
Oh. I don't even know what he does. I need to pull him up. I have no...
I
have no idea
never,
who he is.
I'd never
no
heard of him before, but he's
like
a great,
out of heaven. We
great entertainer.
Do a song. I'm trying to do two
he
of his songs.
Now, I mean, did he take off his clothes and slide all over the floor?
No,
that was the Chili Peppers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was...
Hey, Eric, good morning. Your mic is on. I got some questions for you guys. Bruno Mars.
Bruno.
Want to get that done.
Mm-hmm.
Did anybody see the interview with President Obama?
I saw
O'Reilly.
Excerpts.
I forgot all about it happening. I missed it.
They said it was...
Yeah, I missed it myself.
Dang. Did anybody watch it?
I watched excerpts all night long. Listen.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I'm asking the questions here. Hold up. Mm-hmm. I just want to know, did he really say the reason why the problem that he has is that Fox News will cover it?
That's what he said.
I mean, did he say, well, if you guys wouldn't cover stuff like you do, we wouldn't have this problem?
True.
I mean, I'm paraphrasing what
he said.
I'm trying to
find
the clip.
That's what he said.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Are those really the words that came out of his mouth?
Words came out of his mouth. Fox News.
So... If you're a journalist, you're supposed to be what?
You're supposed to bow down and worship at the
altar of Obama.
Yeah,
I'm in trouble.
Yeah, see,
I'm in trouble.
I mean,
now,
well, you know, he to a large extent, the president is the classic example of somebody who's never experienced failure, that's been protected his whole life.
No, that's not
true. And he can't imagine somebody actually not agreeing with him.
He's cynical like that.
I agree.
He's a cynic. He's misogynistic.
You're just not supposed to exploit. You're not supposed to tell anybody. He's used to making mistakes, so, you know, he falls down.
I don't know where he's ever had a chance to fall down.
Oh. No, he falls down. I mean, when I say falls down, I mean, he's made mistakes.
But he won't admit it. He won't admit it, and he won't.
But he won't own up to it.
Right.
And he's never been exposed. He doesn't like anybody telling the truth
right.
about what he does.
Well, that's what I meant. That might not have been what I said, but that's what I meant.
You know, he's made mistakes. He just, you know.
I mean, he is what he is.
You don't question the Almighty. But I tell you what bothered me. I drove to Detroit to go to church, and I was listening to some clips that I had in my phone because, you know, Jeff knows I got ghetto fabulous car. If you don't have phones.
Yeah,
have your
yeah,
own
she's
phone.
In trouble.
You don't listen to music. And I was listening to my music, and I heard, you know, I had a clip with Jamie Foxx.
Mm-hmm. And you went back to that.
And it just came back, and it just
our Lord and our Savior.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I was like, are you real? Okay.
Yeah.
I'll let y'all talk now.
Yeah.
Can you, I mean, do you, I mean, just seriously, do you really understand how we have positioned a man?
Yeah, we positioned a man to be God in office,
like a deity.
When we were saying, hey, nobody, no, we don't want, we want a president, and we don't want a pastor in office. But they worship and they let this stuff go. This cat lies. He's a pathological liar. And I found out something. What's the Davis-Bacon Act stick?
Davis-Bacon, that's prevailing wage law.
Yeah. What is the prevailing wage in the federal government? What is it when it comes to government contracts?
Hey, Matt, your mic's
probably 10-10 an hour.
Do what?
Oh, some of Matt's mic was off.
He might have guessed 10-10 an hour.
10-10, no, it's not the prevailing wage.
No, here's the deal. Nobody by contract gets under that. I was out yesterday, Cheryl and I were out eating. Yeah, I do. Mm. You know what? Do it right here. I'm good. Hurry up. Now.
Pomegranates.
Yeah, pomegranates are great. My God, that tastes good. But anyway, I've never had a pomegranate in my life until about a month ago. But anyway, this guy tells me he does a lot of government contracts. He said, you know what? He's slicker than snake oil. He said, because by contract, you can't pay your people less than something like $12 an hour to do anything for the United States government. So I was incorrect when I said somebody like cleaning companies.
Yeah.
And somebody that has a food service, you know, a thing or something like that. I thought that those would be the exceptions.
Mm-mm.
Nothing happening.
There
Mm-mm.
are none.
Mm-mm. There aren't any jobs like that. That's crazy.
And all their contracted workers have benefits.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, but the thing is they have to by law. So him doing this, he's trying to juggle business to have to go up and just do everything. And people, even O'Reilly's behind. I wanted to kill O'Reilly when he said, well, why don't we just, you Republicans, you have to start, get out the way of working people.
I'm trying to keep it light for the first 20 minutes.
Well, I mean, you asked a question.
I just asked a question about the O'Reilly.
Is this light? Is this anything to be light about?
No.
No.
I'm trying to tell y'all, I'm trying to keep it light for the first 20 minutes. Bring everybody in. Say good morning.
Bring everybody in there. Because you know I'm going
to say everybody.
I mean, we can go back to the train wreck.
Yeah. I just want to go back to the football game.
Go back to the train wreck.
I just want to go back to, you know, because, you know, it was. Here, Jeff.
The train wreck reminded me of another game.
Wait a minute. Hold up. I've got to fuss at you guys. I'm trying to keep it light for at least till the first break.
I mean,
we got 6 minutes and 51 seconds and clowning. Then we can come back and after the commercial break and do some stuff.
Let's go back and talk about the train wreck. You brought up the president.
No, I just
brought up the president.
The president was, it was the president got brought up because I brought up the interview that was before the Super Bowl that nobody watched. And I was listening to the news this morning, and I heard some words that came out of his mouth while I was trying to get dressed. And he said,
oh, I wish I could do this. Here it is.
Donald Trump was upset because he wasn't wearing a tie.
Hold on.
What not even mass corruption. Not even a smidgen of corruption.
That was just one exchange from last night. President Obama.
See? He said, you know, he just said that he was, he would do better if y'all wouldn't expose him. And I just wanted to hear if that was really what I heard, because I was getting dressed. I was multitasking.
That's what you heard.
And so
that's the most. This is the most corrupt administration ever.
No.
The only one we got down there that's any good.
No, it's not. Yes. You got Johnson. You got Wilson. You got Johnson. They were all the same. The only difference is you.
Oh, no.
That's
corrupt we're talking about.
There's a fun. There's Wilson. A fun fact.
What?
State of the Union.
What about it?
From Jefferson to guess who, the president mailed it in.
Oh, Jefferson Johnson.
Nope. Ooh. Jefferson to Wilson.
Right. Johnson was the first one to use TV.
Yeah.
Okay.
You sure wasn't Kennedy?
Mm-hmm.
Kennedy was the first one to use TV.
No,
that's
the first one to use
TV.
Union. State of the Union.
Oh, okay. Well, that's how he beat
Nixon. Yeah, the debate. Yeah.
You Republicans really need to get up on this media thing because you have to understand how it works. I just want you Republicans to know about that.
I wish the Republicans would wake up a little bit.
Well, the Republicans going to have to get involved in popular culture, whether we want to or not.
No, you don't have to get involved. You just have to address it.
You have to understand
it. You have to understand it. You have to know what's going on.
You
can't sit up there and be goofy. Well, you're not going to win if you're going to do that. And you can't get up there trying to bring outside people to do inside people's jobs.
Hey, Matt, how are you? Hey, Alabama, how are you? I'm trying to keep it light here. It's not working. You mentioned President Obama, and everybody just loses their mind. I don't understand. So were you rooting for the Seahawks, or were you rooting for the Broncos?
I was a Denver fan last night. They shoved it down my throat. I actually thought they were going to take it by 17 because Peyton had something to prove. But I'll tell you what, for all you Peyton haters out there, look at his stats last night. Granted, he threw two interceptions, but he threw for 75 more yards than Wilson did, and he had nearly the same quarterback rating. His whole team collapsed. The Broncos just didn't come to play yesterday. The Seahawks totally
called on the Broncos.
Maybe they were cold.
Yeah, they didn't. The Broncos didn't show up. That's their bottom line. They did not show up last night.
There was nothing. That offensive line, I mean, granted, they protected Peyton, but that pocket got really small for most of that game.
You know what I could say to liken this to? And you'd have to go back in history to see it, is when Muhammad Ali, who was Cassius Clay then, fought Sonny Liston. This is the same utter failure, because Sonny Liston was heads and tails favorite over Cassius Clay.
Yeah, but they're thinking Lister took a dive.
I heard last night they said Denver must have gotten paid off by somebody, because for them to be as great as they were, they really.
Some of those fumbles, man, I had a question. Some of those fumbles are ridiculous.
See? That's Eric.
I'm not a football fan.
This was crazy.
And I don't know a whole lot about the game, but I know you're not supposed to give the ball to the other team. That I do know. You know, and
did
like
you see
I
how
said,
much he did it?
Yeah. And it was like watching a train wreck. It really was. You just couldn't.
You're not supposed to give the football to the ball.
No.
Maybe they had they replaced their playbook with the Charles Schultz, Charlie Brown playbook.
That could be.
Because that's how they used to do it. Or was it the Water Boy, the movie? When the guy would get the ball and run the opposite direction for the other team?
Or was that the Water Boy, or was that,
I don't know. I know it's one of those movies, but he kept on running the opposite direction. So maybe reverse playbook. Does anybody know what the bookies made last night on this?
A lot. Well, it depends on what your mark was, because I do some guy that even though Denver lost, he still didn't win because of the point spread or something. I don't know how that works.
Yeah, I think Vegas odds had Denver by like, I don't know, 20 points or something. Like, was
no,
it 20
points.
Well, then, yeah, somebody made a lot of money if you went heavy the other way. That's for sure. How much you want to bet that if you go city by city throughout the United States last night and look at arrest records for DUIs as compared to other Super Bowl Sundays in the past, that it was way, way lower last night because everybody went home early?
Yeah, but do you realize this is the first time we had two pot-smoking teams playing each other?
That's true. They call it the pot bowl.
That's a good one, too.
But then, you know, I'm looking at, it was New Jersey, and, you know, New Jersey's having a hard time right now. Chris Christie, they're giving the boy a rough time.
I'm waiting to see if they claim they got hard evidence that he ordered that bridge closure.
Well, listen, I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends. Here on WSLM AM 600, the number 347-945-5229. I'm not quite sure how long I can keep it light, but I'm going to work on it. We'll see you then.
Do you depend on your computer? Then you know that...
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming. but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795. If you love the food and the homemade traditions of the Amish community, then the Valley Marketplace on South Avenue in Boardman is something you need to know about. From fresh baked breads and pies, fresh fruit and produce, to Amish-made furniture and gifts, the Valley Marketplace on South Avenue in Boardman, right next to the Georgetown. Visit us online at thevalleymarketplace.com. Open Thursday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., Friday, 9 to 8, and Saturday, 8 to 4. Shop early on Saturday till 10 p.m. and take 5% off select foods and items.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll-free 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at TracyAndFriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. Hey, I'm listening to me and Jeff fight. What does he know? Matt. He's gone.
No, I'm not. I'm
Matt.
Here. What's up?
Matt, what have you been?
Well, I had a ton of work to do last week. I was listening. I had my radio on. I was listening. I just couldn't pull away to call in. Sorry.
Wait a minute. They're showing Joe Namath. and announces when he showed up, they say, well, there's Joe Namath, the only man here that wishes it was colder. He had a huge fur coat on.
He was living his glory. Leave the man alone. He's had a rough life.
And almost messed up the doggone
Yeah.
Well, they say coin toss. They said that they were having a celebration prior to the coin toss.
No matter. Whatever it is.
And he was participating inside of it.
Look, I was at Ben's house, and boy, did I take one on the chin last night, because I said, well, I picked Denver, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, were there a lot of Seahawks fans there?
Oh, yeah, there was a couple. And the Seahawks fans were rubbing it in everybody's face quietly. They were very nice people. Friends and relatives of our dear Ben. No, they didn't show up. They played just like they were the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, I have to say, once that football went flying by Peyton Manning and wound up in the back of the end zone in the beginning of the game, that's when Maddie started down his trek to today's hangover.
It just all fell apart.
That was like a snowball down Mount Everest. It just wasn't going to stop.
You know what?
Oh, man. 8 points for Denver. That's crazy.
I was waiting. Has there ever been a Super Bowl that was a shutout? Because I was – that's one of the reasons I was –
I
still
don't
tuned
remember.
In because
end of the third quarter, Sticks. End of the third quarter. That's why we kept on watching too. I wanted to see if there could be a shutout because that you're witness to history then.
Yeah, I got you. No, this was absolutely crazy.
I think it's fair to say too that probably this more last night. The biggest story in the stadium had nothing to do with the Seattle Seahawks winning the Super Bowl. It was actually Peyton Manning losing that bad. I think that's the bigger story. You look at all the headlines, and I've seen probably 3 out of 5 headlines where it's about Manning losing instead of the Seahawks winning. So that's pretty incredible.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right, Matt. I think that was the story, because everybody thought Peyton Manning was going to get his ring. He was going to show up. I guess, does he have one? I don't think he has one.
No, no, his brother's got two. He has none.
Yeah, ain't that something?
Oh,
He got one. He won a ring.
He did win
he
one.
Did?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, he did.
Who did he win one with? Denver. Oh, and that's right. With Tony
Dungy.
Okay, you're right. You guys are good. That's good.
I stand corrected. I thought they said yesterday he didn't have one. I stand corrected.
They might have said it because they're not always the most accurate people in the world.
Alabama, how you doing down there? Have you thawed out yet?
Oh, it's been thawed out. It was warm yesterday. We was outside in the shorts and t-shirts. It's real warm. It's still warm now, actually.
I hear weather's coming back to us.
That's what I hear.
Well, I wanted to dirty the waters a little bit. Friday, you know, I got this little XM thing I've been listening to. And if I'm not mistaken, man, it's about to be over for the Republicans. If they pass this immigration bill and get all these people that want handouts over here, and they start, well, they already here, but start allowing them to vote, start allowing them to be citizens, it is over. The Democrats will never lose another, that's another 20 million voters that are going to come in and all vote to get as much free stuff as they possibly can. It's not like 100 years ago when people came over here and they didn't get any free handouts, they just worked, and they wanted to learn English. These people think their country's better than ours, so they come over here, they don't respect the culture, they come over. It's stupid, and it's like these businesses and campaign supporters and contributors of the Republicans are just paying them to self-implode. And I think Boehner knows this, but he's just doing what's politically expedient for the moment because they're about to lose this. They're going to lose midterms if they make them citizens. They will. It's just going to be too many of voting.
Well, I don't think that anybody's talking about making them legal immediately. I don't think that they're going to pass it this year. So I think you got it going on that way.
Coming, and when they do, Democrats will never lose again. They put before 2016, it's over for whoever runs getting this nomination. Because I think Michelle Obama is going to probably be the next president. I'm just telling you.
Oh, please.
Okay.
Please,
all right.
Not Michelle.
No, you said what?
Michelle Obama is not going to be the next president.
More people like her than they like Barack.
But now, no. But see, the difference is she may one day rise. She may go back to Senate. She may go do some other things. She may say do some things politically. But I don't think she'll be the next president just yet. She's not Hillary. But what you have to understand, right now they're telling me that Hillary's raising so much money, she's hurting the midterm.
Hillary ain't finna get this number. I bet you the money, Michelle Obama jump in there, and it gonna be her and Biden is a joke. Ain't nobody gonna take him serious. It's gonna be her and maybe some dark horse guy we don't know about. But I'm just telling you, man, and I think they gonna win. I'm just gonna go ahead. I don't want them to win, but they gonna win. I mean, you put all these illegals over here voting for as much free stuff as they can. They're not going to learn the language. They're going to have as many babies as they can for the system, get as many food stamps as they can get. I mean, that's just what they're going to do. And then as soon as you complain, you're racist. You know, they're human like us. They're people too. As if somehow it's killing them to force them to go back and revolt and overthrow the weak government that they have elected in their own home country. Because that's what we're about to turn into their country.
Exactly.
They're going to turn us into a third world country because the way they vote in our country is the way they voted in their country, and that's why they had to leave, because they destroyed it.
Well, what's getting ready to happen is you're going to see them come here, and then you're going to have a mess in the southeast because La Raza is not going to stop, and La Raza has a lot of sympathizers that Mexico, that the southern United States belongs to. Mexico, which is Southern California, Arizona, New Mexico, and parts of Texas. You're going to watch this thing happen. It's going to be a fight to the finish, too, because you get all those people over here, what are you going to do? They'll take you over. They'll be their own country. But the thing is the United States is being real stupid, but they're going to deserve this. You know, I'm not going to deserve what they're going to do, but they're going to because they vote like this all the time.
But I mean, let me say this: I am coming to the resolve that people they want to know better. They've just been indoctrinated with bad information, and if you listen to the words that the president, I'm paraphrasing. If you listen to the words that he said to O'Reilly on yesterday. His words were, "Well, if you guys would quit making a story out of this, then we wouldn't have these problems." And again, this, it's a paraphrase of what he said, but in a nutshell, that's what was the intent. If you don't understand that, they don't want you to have the facts. I mean, I think it was a cartoon that said, "Just the facts, ma'am."
Yeah, just the facts.
They don't want you to have information. They don't want you to have truth, and they don't want you to have facts. They want you to regurgitate that which they have given you. And if you do not regurgitate that which they have given you, then they have problems.
Then you're out.
And I think that's where our biggest issues lie. Because people want the truth. You know, a child wants to know the right thing. But if you indoctrinate the child with the wrong thing, the child will always believe that wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what's going on in our nation.
Well, that's why he went on Fox News. Well, that's why he went on Fox News. See, he has to keep this narrative going that Fox News is racist, they don't like him, and he knows Bill O'Reilly's going to play right into it.
Well, here's the thing. O'Reilly has always been very soft on him, and as a result, you see O'Reilly get invited to the White House for those dinners and other things that the president does, and nobody else from Fox gets invited to do a doggone thing. And so I'm looking at this situation, and really I'm ready to go down there and choke O'Reilly.
Why?
Because he gives him a pass on stuff.
But Jeff, you're missing the point. The reason why he went on O'Reilly is because he would get a pass. He's not going to go, and don't fault O'Reilly for being like everybody else. Fault everybody else for doing what they do. Because
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Sticks.
Well, as O'Reilly has to walk a very fine line, because if he beats up on the president too much, he's going to catch fire.
What's happening?
And especially in that venue, because you're talking about an open venue where the majority of people that were watching don't normally watch O'Reilly.
Can you see?
On broadcast.
Look at Tim Russert. Where would Tim Russert be on this side of the equation?
I think Tim Russert would have been dead center.
I love Tim Russert because Tim Russert could always get me get me saying yeah for getting the guy that I didn't like and getting mad at him for beating up on my guy. And that a journalist can do that is a good journalist.
Tim Russert was one of the greatest there was, and he was fair.
He was a Democrat, but he was fair-handed when he came to his interviews.
This is not fair. You have illegalities happening. You have really, really crazy high-end stuff going, and you know, with Benghazi, with this Arab Spring, people they're killing Christians by the dozens daily overseas, and we're not saying a doggone thing about it. We're not doing it. In fact, our country, this administration created the Arab Spring that put these people in power. And this is the type of thing that there should be revolutions on, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see anybody, including the military, because the military can stop this. But we're so used to government doing anything, we're waiting for the government to make the revolution. And it's not going to happen.
What about the reading of the Declaration of Independence prior to the game? I didn't know that they did that.
Who did that?
The NFL said they do it all the time.
They said they do it before every game.
Every
Super Bowl. That's
but they
the
also
time
did
I've seen it.
They also did America the Beautiful in like six different languages. Did you see that one?
That was a Coke commercial, though.
That kind of ticked me off.
That brought on shot number 16 for me.
You got a little brown bottle flu going on this morning?
A little bit.
Nice. So how were the commercials?
They were okay. I mean,
lackluster at best.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they were all that great.
Neither do I.
I have to say, I'm still in love with the. I did like the
puppy horse.
The puppy horse.
Of course, because
I liked it.
The time machine was pretty funny.
Yeah, the time machine was funny. The homecoming for the soldier was awesome.
Yeah, but, you know, it was serious, and so you know how people are with that. But you know, you have a real, this is bad. This is the worst we've been in years. The worst.
Yeah, and you know what? Let me add to what you're saying, Jeff, by hating on O'Reilly some more. He's not just being soft with the president when he's interviewing the president. I watch him very rarely anymore because I can't stand his gun control stances. He's all for $10 an hour. I mean, he argued that to the teeth last week.
That bothered me so bad.
And what he has to understand is, if we start allowing $10 an hour or something like that, and he should because he's supposed to be conservative-minded, and he used to be, but something happened. If you're going to bring up all these other issues with the economy, and you're going to say, well, this is wrong and this is wrong, but you know what? I'm all for $10 an hour. What do you think that's going to do to the economy? It's just going to add to the snowball that we have going.
Well,
who makes you think that he's a conservative?
It's not about that he's a conservative.
He used to be a conservative back in the day.
He used to kill. He used to be right on the stuff that was not right, but he's let Obama get away.
I think he's just locked in the bubble.
No,
Beck has said more than once that once you spend so much time in the New York D.C. bubble, you start to get brainwashed.
That's not what's happening with O'Reilly. He knows what he's doing.
But look at Joe Scarborough. I mean, you don't see it hard. You have these people who are supposed to be either left or right. You know the left are always left. But the people that are supposed to be right are not always right.
No, because you have right progressives now.
Well, right. you have people that are claiming they're on the right, but they're not.
Listen, look at how O'Reilly used it. I've never heard the word folks used as much as I have since Barack Obama became president. Bill O'Reilly, I thought at first, was making fun of the overuse of the word folks. But he uses it all the time now. And that's very telling to me, too, because he's using the same language and using the same words that the administration is. Just something that little shows me that O'Reilly is
on. Hold on.
What other?
Were you watching Bill O'Reilly in 2003? Bill O'Reilly has been saying the word folks. Listen here, folks. Wait, folks. He's been using that word long before the president came on the scene.
I used to watch Bill O'Reilly.
And here you guys talk about how he gives a president a pass to read. How all that happened was You had the right going so hard with their hatred of the man, not his policies. And when Bill O'Reilly sat down with the president, he said, wait a minute, they had me thinking that this man was a devil incarnate, but if you sit down with him, he's not. He's actually a likable guy. So that's what the devil does.
President Obama is one of the most, I like the way he handles things. I like the way when he gets around certain people, the way he handles himself. I actually like that about him. I think him and Michelle together, they are great at that. And I like that about him. I'll never say that. Ideologically, I'm opposite of him. But at the same time, I like, and I think he's the best we've ever had at how he handles the media, how he handles people. When he gets around, his style, the way he handles, the way he talks, the way he, handles himself around people.
Alabama, what you fail to realize is the problem is he manipulates the media and he manipulates people. And I think that is the biggest problem that we have. And not only does he manipulate them, but when he says something, it's almost like they go and mimic what he says as fact. And there is no critical thinking about it.
Political capital. He gains political capital by going to Bill O'Reilly because Bill O'Reilly makes him look like, okay, well, he's not scared of the right. He came and he sat down. He talked to the right-wing guy of Bill O'Reilly, who we know is a moderate or basically a whatever. But that's the guy who you would have to look and say, that's the guy that's pulling him, makes Obama look a certain way. That was a chess move by Barack Obama. And Bill O'Reilly will take anything he can get from Obama because Obama won't interview anybody on the right. But he'll go to Bill O'Reilly, which makes now people can go back and say, well, he's not a liberal. I mean, he's not left-wing. Look at he went and sat down with Bill O'Reilly from Fox. It's the name. Now he can name drop because he went to Bill O'Reilly.
Wow.
That was
he named drop because he went to Bill O'Reilly.
The reason why he went to O'Reilly is because O'Reilly is the only place that he's going to get the people that really do make decisions and vote, that he can talk to them. Because he knows good and doggone well all he has is peons on MSNBC or the networks. All he has is mindless people that make emotional decisions on those places. He's going to where the real meat of America is. That's why he did it on Super Bowl Sunday. Who can't see that one? You know,
yeah, but you got to hand it to the brother. Now, hold up. You got to hand it to the brother.
Hand it to who?
Obama.
For what?
That's masterful.
It's not masterful. It's absolutely predictable.
No, listen, it might be predictable.
I don't
but
like
it's
the
masterful.
Man's policy, but that was a genius move.
I'm with Alabama on this. Before the Super Bowl, when all eyes are going to be on you and people are going to be paying attention in and out, and you're going to get the masses. It's like a new spin on politics. Let me go to the mass and go on a kush and get a kush, because it was a kush.
He's number
interview.
One. He's number one, Tracy. O'Reilly is number one, and O'Reilly's going to continue to be number one because he's going to do stuff like this, and he's going to be number one. No other cable news network touches him. And if he went to national news out on the broadcast, nobody would touch him there.
To O'Reilly?
That's right.
But what I'm saying to you is, setting up this interview before the Super Bowl was masterful.
Okay. I don't think I think it was very predictable. I think it was very cheap. I think it was very, very
cheap for those that follow policies, but not cheap for those.
He lied every chance he
yes,
got.
It's not about the. It's
it
not
doesn't
about the,
matter
it's
what
not
you
about
think
the
about it. You
said.
Have to.
It's
you
not
have
about the
to
words
acknowledge.
That he said. Go ahead, Diva.
You have to acknowledge the genius in what he does and how he goes about handling the media.
I don't.
You got to. I mean,
and
you got to give the devil
like
and do every now and then. Putting it on before a mindless sport. And getting there, because people don't know that he lies.
No, they don't know.
That's what I'm saying.
They don't
so,
believe he lied.
That's what I'm saying. And so he came on there and said what he wanted people to know. You may not like what he had to say, but he came on right before a mindless game of entertainment, and people were partying, passing out, and watching. And he was actually conditioning them with misinformation and or bad information, if you want to call it that. But he did. Look at what time he put it on.
I think he put it on Fox for one thing and one thing.
We're not talking about Fox. We're talking about the timing that he put it on. And it being right before the Super Bowl. Not only that, the Super Bowl is just like a holiday.
Why didn't he go to ABC, NBC, or
CBS? Probably because of how they've been treating him in the thing. You go, you really don't have an interview with your enemy. You don't have a sit down with your enemy. You really don't. If you want to get something out to the masses of the people, you're going to go to where you're like, where the people, where your interview is going to be comfortable, and you're not going to be feeling like you're being antagonized. So he
let me
went
take my break.
Where he felt he was comfortable at.
We'll be right back. You're listening to
I for one didn't even watch
Steve,
the Super Bowl.
I cannot with Steve. I cannot agree with you. I mean, the main.
I knew Seattle was going to win.
Denver beat themselves.
And a lot of people lost a lot of money last night.
Yeah, Denver didn't show up. They just did not show up.
Alabama, I looked
online
and saw that score, and I was like, what?
Say what? What'd you say, Matt?
Oh, maybe that wasn't Alabama. Who was that? Was that Eric?
It's Eric, yeah. Denver didn't show up last night.
You're really noisy on that phone. Just like, you know.
That's Alabama.
All right, sorry. Go ahead.
Denver didn't show up last night. They just did not show up.
Yeah, no, they didn't. I agree with that. The Seahawks absolutely did. I'll give them that. They absolutely came with everything on defense, offense, special teams. They came ready to go.
Yep, and I mean Marshawn Lynch just pounded. He wore that defensive line down. He just wore him down.
I'm gonna give you a scripture. This is why that wind did not spread. Well, football, whether it was college or NFL, has been crazy all season. It's just been weird and unexpected. You have to read the tea in between the lines and say, you know what, this is so unexpected. So naturally you would go with the unexpected. I didn't expect for Seattle to blow them out like that, but.
Well, they were at home, basically. You look at the weather conditions. That was a home game for them.
Not Denver is typically colder than Seattle. Seattle's mostly rainy.
No, Seattle's cold, but Denver's cold, too. I mean, I think they both had.
Yeah, Denver is cold, especially
from. It was raining last night. It was raining last night. At the halftime show, it wasn't raining hard, but if you look closely, you can see the raindrops coming down.
Yeah, but playing in rain is a different ballgame than playing when you're being in the snow all the time.
I played in all conditions, so I know it makes a difference.
I don't think the weather affected either team, but I just like to look at Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1 through 8. To everything, there's a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. And it's like, everything has its due. Everything happens for a reason. And just so happens, Denver didn't have the reason, for whatever reason, it was not their time. Not their time to shine during Super Bowl. So
I got to give Manning one thing. He, I don't. Did you guys watch any of the post game with his interviews, anything like that?
Yeah, he was very classy.
Very classy. And when he exited the stadium, he made a promise to a fan that he would make sure that he signed an autograph for them after the game. He went, kept his promise, and then on his way out of the stadium just kept signing autographs instead of just walking out. You know, I got to give it to Manning for that.
Manning's have always been very, very gracious. Both of them, he and Aunt Eli, very, very gracious, very humble. Always liked, and neither one of them play for any of my – you know, I've always liked those two guys.
I would love to be invited to their house for Thanksgiving dinner. I just wonder what goes on at the table.
Could you imagine that?
Oh my gosh! I wonder how competitive they both are, and if they grew. Well, they said they never really grew up. It's like a healthy competition between the two. Like there was never any jealousy or envy. But man,
you know what? I think I don't think they're there for Thanksgiving dinner. I don't think they've been at Thanksgiving dinner for a long
time.
They
might make Easter.
You might want to try one of those summer, you know, 4th of July.
Yeah.
Funeral and a wedding, but
Cause
Thanksgiving and I think it might be Christmas.
Maybe Christmas. Well, you know, Detroit always plays on Christmas. So Thanksgiving. There's only one game on Christmas usually.
So maybe Christmas, but definitely not.
I could just see them two fighting in the living room just over something stupid after dinner.
I bet you they don't even bring it up.
I think they talk football across the phone, though.
Now, that may then that may happen.
Yeah.
And I'm quite sure his brother felt bad for him yesterday.
He was there. I actually thought for a second there I was watching Eli on the field from his performance this year. Holy cow.
South Carolina, your mic is on. How you guys doing? How you doing?
Yeah, I was going to say, Bill said this. He says, please point out to Diva that the president is not the enemy of the people on the right. Rather, he holds the views with which the right opposes and have disagreement with the president. From the left's zeal and persistence, I cannot say the same for the left against the right. And, yeah, because they have hatred for the right. They have made it that way, and that's one of the rules of rule. Wait a minute. They have one of the rules from Saul Alinsky's book, The Rules for Radicals. You always slam your enemy, no matter what the deal is. When they do something right, you slam them.
Polarize and marginalize.
That is the rules for radicals.
Which the president taught in college.
He taught from
the book. I shut down my Facebook because you Looney Tune conservative. In my inbox, people I don't even know. But because I tend to put my point of view out there on other people's pages and whatnot, I get crazy, cuckoo, lunatic conservatives in my inbox all the time.
Well,
and the way that you guys talk, I hear people all the time, I hate that guy. Even on here, I hate that guy. Not, oh man, I hate his politics, but I don't like that guy. You have people on Capitol Hill, Congress people on Capitol Hill, saying that they cannot seem to be working with President Obama because it's death to their careers.
I mean, that's, you know what, then they deserve to lose their career by doing nothing. Here's the thing, and I keep telling people this, because they have been so effective at protecting this president with his race, that they don't like it because he's black, just because this black man. I said, no, it's not. I said, I'm a black man, and I saw him coming, and I told you this. This man is not right, and he's evil. I'm not going to say he's just following his thing. The things that they are doing are evil. You don't force people to have to provide abortion. You don't force people to have to provide contraceptives and three. You don't force people to have to accept homosexuality as being normal. You don't do these things. That's not right.
And the antithesis of Christianity is Satanism. The antithesis of conservatism is Marxism. And this president, by his own words in his own books, is a Marxist. That's what he believes in.
Yeah,
he has written that in his own words, unless Bel Air's wrote it for him.
Listen, did y'all see? Maybe tomorrow Jeff and I are going on a road trip, and I would love, maybe, I don't know how we could do that, to play the debate between Dinesh D'Souza and Bel Air. Did you watch it?
No, I didn't. I need to.
I was not. Jeff and I, we were on a road trip. I got to watch because it's like 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
But Dinesh D'Souza and Bel Air had a head-to-head recently.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we really understand the mindset. And even if President Obama doesn't buy into all of it, he has some of it. But I don't think you'll ever convince people. She will never, ever actually buy into that.
Not Diva herself, but most of the people that support, they don't read any of the books.
But it's not even about reading. I mean, you got to understand. No, Jeff. Remember, Bill.
Bill Ayers.
No. Our friend Bill that called in.
Yeah.
And we were talking about Uncle Tom.
Yeah.
And he said he didn't care what the book said.
Yes. That ain't, his name is not Bill.
His name is Bill. You call him Bill
Cosby. I just wanted to inform Jeff that he said he was a black person. His black card's been revoked. and it's been revoked. And
You know
not
what?
Getting it.
You know what? I could give a flip about that, okay? Because, you know, if being black means I have to be stupid and ignorant, then I resign. How about that?
But I just don't. I mean,
I don't think you can resign from being black. I'm sorry.
I was just going to ask if I found Jeff's card and put it in my pocket, would I turn black? I'm just wondering.
No.
Yes, Matt, it transfers. All you need is the card.
For the first time.
If you got a card, I'll mail you one, okay?
For the first time, I understand Ward Connolly.
You might have to toke a little and play the saxophone, too.
Ward Connolly.
Oh, okay. You got to do the Bill Clinton.
Yeah, with glasses on. I got dark glasses, too. Ward Connolly is the craziest black man I've ever seen, okay? And I really thought his views, because they seemed to be against black people, were really wild and out there.
Which views, Jeff? Tell people who Ward Connolly is.
Ward Connolly was he in the legislature from California, or did he just?
I don't think he just was
an activist or somebody out in California, Southern California, that had some very harsh views. He said no affirmative action and all these other things. I'm beginning to understand how
so
he
why
got
do you
that
understand
way.
Him?
I'm beginning because this is the reason why. When you tell most people, especially African American people, how something is being done to hurt them, because that's who's getting hurt right now. All the minorities are doing a whole lot better. Okay, but the black minority has slipped from being number one during these last 5 years to being number three in every single monetary marker that there is. They're falling out the middle class. They're losing per capita home income. They're losing a position in political things. They're losing on every front. And they don't see it. They're just as happy to go down the drain. Well, you go down the drain by yourself. I'm not going down there. See, that's what I'm saying. So if being black means to be, I have to be ignorant of this black man that's killing, slaughtering black people.
Let me say this.
It seems to be okay to go over the cliff.
Hold on, Eric. This is the beginning of Black History Month.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna, Eric, I'll bring you up as soon as I take my break, because I'm at the top of the hour. But I want people to really understand something. We've gotten in a bad situation of being the term being black.
Right. What it means.
Acting white and being black.
Right.
And those two words used together is destroying the fabric of a whole society. Acting white and being black. I joked about it, but like you can transfer your black card to anything, because people are people. They really are, and you got good and bad in either one. And the reason why our young people are not as achieving as they should is because somebody told them that if you talk the King's English and you get good grades and you study, then you're acting white.
So all those black people I talk to in England are all acting white, because I've never seen a black person in England that spoke with a dialect.
No,
that black people speak with.
They have a different dialect when they come from the poor neighborhood. They do from the middle class.
No.
I spent a lot of time in England. Every black person I talked to,
I don't care what,
spoke the same.
But, so, and every white person you talked to did not talk like white America.
Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for afternoons with Tracy and friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
America is the only place where we're really broken down on racial lines. Every other country is broken down usually by class or culture. America is the only country that I can think of that is broken down along racial lines. So when he talks about England, black people in England, all the poor people sound the same in England. All the middle class people sound the same. And all the upper-class people tend to sound the same. So your dialect and how you talk depends on which class you belong in. here, it's basically, if you black, you're going to talk, you're going to sound a certain way. If you white, you're going to sound a certain way. Hispanic, you're going to sound a certain way. Me personally, I don't think there's anything wrong with that because we are different. We're not the same. We're only the same in the fact that we are human beings. We are Homo sapiens. That is the only thing that we truly have in common.
I agree with that. However, I think that there is, you know, when you speak, when anybody speaks, I think you speak to make sense so people can understand what you're saying, okay? And I see, unfortunately, lately, and a lot of times, we have a complete change in the way that we form words or talk or construct sentences. And this changes every 8 to 10 years, I've noticed during my life anyway. And I think that just doesn't make sense. And in a way, I think it kind of makes people look silly and foolish. And I'm not a great, you know, speaker of the English myself, but holy cow.
Like, I noticed that the two generations behind me tend to, when I was coming up, growing up where I lived, which was considered the ghetto, the hood, I always spoke properly, according to my my peers. I spoke properly. I used proper dialect. I used proper vernacular. I loved vocabulary, and I loved words. So I, you know, ain't was not in my vocabulary. I would say isn't or is not. And because of that, I was called the white girl. I was called white girl all my life. They still sometimes, you know, put that little label on me. It doesn't bother me now than it did as it did before, because I couldn't understand why they would do that to me as a kid. I thought it was an insult. But I think most people who are adults, and you can't lump children and teenagers into it, because they're still learning who they are, they're growing, they're experimenting with things, they're experimenting with words, and I think that's where we get mixed up and confused, because we are expecting children to act as adults, and they're not. This is a time for them to learn who they are, get it all out of their system, because I know plenty of people who use bad vernacular, poor grammar, everything just, man, when they were teenagers, you would think they were headed in the wrong direction, and now, as adults, they're completely different.
Yeah, here's one thing that befuddles me, though, is like what you just said about, you know, let them get it out of their system, let them, you know, basically talk the way they're going to talk to learn it later. We're seeing in public schools right now, in elementary school, in second and third grade, they're starting to introduce Spanish as a mandatory Spanish. So now we're going to allow not only our children to talk however they wish to get it out of their system, and I'm not disagreeing with you, Diva, I'm just pointing it out, to get it out of their system, and then we're going to introduce Spanish into it. It makes for a very interesting future for this country when we can't speak English, but we know Spanish and very broken English anymore. I'm wondering where it's all going.
Me personally, I don't see, to be honest with you, poor vocabulary, I think poor vocabulary can be broken, but it takes two parts. It takes the home and it takes school, it takes three parts, because it also takes that student wanting to learn. Where I grew up, no one was speaking proper English. There was such thing called hood language. And Ebonics.
Yeah, see, in my house, that wasn't allowed. Hood language was not allowed under my parents' roof.
I wouldn't
you
say...
You just couldn't do it.
It depends on what you talk about hood language. It's just a different way that you talk to each other in the hood. It's not necessarily being aggressive. It's not necessarily being disrespectful. It's not cursing all the time. It's just you use different words than you would in a different community, in a different culture. And that was all around me growing up. And we all talk like that. When I got into second grade, and my English teacher, I remember the first time I was corrected on the word ain't. And she said, ain't is not a word. And I told her, I said, no, ain't is a word because we use it all the time. She said, said ain't is not a word. She said look it up in a dictionary, and you tell me if you can find it. And at that time, ain't was not in the dictionary.
It
and
is
I couldn't
now.
Find it. And so from then on, all the words that I would start using, I would look them up in a dictionary. And then my vocabulary started to change, and it started to grow. But that was on me. Even as 7 years old, I wanted to learn more. Somebody showed me something different. I wanted to learn more. You have some kids who now just, I don't know, they don't want it. They don't hunger after it. But that's expected for children. I mean, we expect children to have this broad worldview. We expect for children to have this broad knowledge. We expect for them to be worldly and highly intelligent. Sometimes you gotta go through the paces to get where you're going to end up. And it's all a learning curve. And that's why we call them children. We call them minorities. We call them adolescents. We call them delinquents. We call them juveniles. We call them minorities because their brain function is not on the same level as an adult. Now, I'm not trying to give them a pass, but I've seen plenty of children whom I thought were dumb and stupid in school grow up to be very successful in life and make smart choices in life.
.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Thank you for doing this.
Great to be with you.
Really appreciate it. I want to get some things on the record. So let's begin with health care.
Yeah.
October 1st, it rolls out.
Right.
Immediately, there are problems with the computers.
Right.
When did you know there were going to be problems with those computers?
Well, I think we all anticipated that there'd be glitches because anytime you got technology, a new program rolling out, there are going to be some glitches. I don't think I anticipated or anybody anticipated the degree of the problems with the website. And
so you just didn't know when it rolled out that this was going to
well,
be a
problem.
Well,
I don't think, as I said, I don't think anybody anticipated the degree of problems that you'd had on healthcare.gov. The good news is that the right away we decided how are we going to fix it. It got fixed within a month and a half. It was up and running, and now it's working the way it's supposed to, and we've signed up 3 million people.
I don't know about that because last week there was an Associated Press poll of people who actually went to the website, and only 8% of them feel that it's working well, working well. Why didn't you fire Sebelius, the secretary in charge of this? Yeah. Because, I mean, she had to know after all those years and all that money that it wasn't going to work.
You know, my main priority right now is making sure that it delivers for the American people.
And you're not going to answer that?
What we've ended up doing is we've got 3 million people signed up so far. We're about a month behind of where we anticipated we wanted to be. We've got over 6 million people who've signed up for Medicaid.
Yeah.
We've got 3 million young people under the age of 26 who are signed up on their parents' plan. And so what we're constantly figuring out is how do we continue to improve it? How do we make sure that the folks who don't have health insurance can get health insurance and those who are underinsured are able to get better health insurance?
I'm sure that the intent is noble, but I'm a taxpayer,
yeah.
And I'm paying Kathleen Sebelius a salary, and she screwed up,
yeah.
And you're not holding her accountable.
Yeah. Well, I promise you that we hold everybody up and down the line accountable, but when we're midstream, Bill, that we want to make sure that our main focus is how do we make this thing work so that people are able to sign up, and that's what we've done.
All right. Was it the biggest mistake of your presidency to tell the nation over and over, if you like your insurance, you can keep your insurance?
Oh, Bill, you've got a long list of my mistakes in my presidency.
No, really, for you. Wasn't that the biggest one?
This is one that I regret, and I said I regretted, in part because we put in a grandfather clause in the original law saying that, in fact, you were supposed to be able to keep it. It obviously didn't cover everybody that we needed to, and that's why we changed it so that we further grandfathered in folks, and many people who thought originally when they got that cancellation notice they couldn't keep it are now
keeping it. It's in the past, but isn't that the biggest mistake?
Well, Bill, as I said,
you gave your enemies a lot of fodder for it.
You were very generous in saying I look pretty good, considering I've been in the presidency for 5 years, and I think part of the reason is I try to focus not on the fumbles but on the next play.
All right. Lydia.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5222, and I wanted to get that in because some of us may not have watched that. He did get past it, didn't he? I mean, he didn't dig deep at all.
No.
Jeez,
man. No, he didn't beat up on a president.
He was,
wow.
Not,
softball.
Beat up on the President of the United States of America. Come on now.
Why not?
NBC.
What was he supposed to say, Diva? Okay,
you can
go
ask
to the next question.
Tracy, I can't even see you beating up on the President. I can see you asking him your deep, pertinent questions. Yes, as a conservative, he should have went deeper for his conservative base. But you don't just beat up
on
the President.
No, Diva. Diva, when I go talk to the President of the United States, I'm not supposed to treat him gingerly, treat him unfairly, and or beat up on him. Okay, bad words, maybe choice
of words. Bad choice of words.
But let me say this. When he tells me why you did not find Catherine Sebelius, and he goes to the next question, and he says he holds everybody accountable, he says, well, you didn't do anything about it, and he goes to the next question, I should dig a little bit deeper, and that's where I think we're talking about Tim Russert. Tim Russert, I don't think, would have let him go right there.
Nope.
And we let him just go. Okay, next.
Tim Russert wouldn't have let him get away with blaming NBC News either.
Yeah, I mean,
Tim Russert would have called him on the carpet for that in a second.
I mean, you can't.
I think his answers would have been different towards Tim Russert.
No, he wouldn't have gone on with Tim Russert.
No,
O'Reilly.
You're not. I don't think you're old enough to really remember Tim Russert.
I remember Tim Russert. Following Tim Russert's career.
Go ahead.
As I said earlier, Tim Russert was the kind of journalist, even though he was a Democrat, that could make me, he could interview my guy and have me mad, and he could interview the other guy on the opposite side of the spectrum and having me cheer him on because he was working real hard.
He was a journalist. That's the difference. And what we're having right now, we don't have journalism. And I threw that in there, and we'll listen to the rest of the clips throughout the morning because it's only about 10 minutes that I have. But I'm just saying those were good questions, soft answers, and he got a pass. And I don't think the American people deserve a pass, no matter who interviewed them. Answer the question and dig deeper. Because health care, we are not even talking about how much it costs to keep your child on your health care plan to 26, because it goes up exponentially.
Mm-hmm. We haven't even begun to pay for this health care thing yet.
It's not even paying for it. It's just when you go on and you keep your child on until they're 26, you have to see how much your rate is that comes out of your check.
And the thing is, by IRS rules, you have to prove that that child has coverage through an employer to drop them.
You
can't just say at 24 years old, my kid decided they want to go ahead and pay for their own health insurance, so they're going off my plan.
I haven't gone into the details of it. All I know is it's a bad deal.
I have a ball in there tomorrow, right?
Is it tomorrow?
You gonna have a ball in there tomorrow?
I will let you know. And give me a minute. Let me look at my calendar.
All right.
Did he just come in here with food?
Did you ask anybody else if they were hungry? Didn't I give you some of my pomegranates? That's what I say about black people. What term did we just get done saying? What was the term? I said the bad thing was acting white and being black. That's what I'm talking about, being black. That's just being black.
Does that make me a jiggaboo?
No, that's a check valve.
I'm gonna tell on him. During the break, Jeff goes out and gets himself his own breakfast.
He never
asked anybody did they want anything. Sticks and I are sitting here grabbing
Jeff.
At straws.
Well,
you ain't got to get us nothing.
See, when I was in the Navy, we called
Jeff.
That check valve.
And he was 4 minutes late coming back from a break.
Well, I heard everything.
That ain't got nothing to do with hearing.
Anyway,
check valve or diode. One way.
One way?
One way.
Before you go, I want to bring something to your attention. Notice what he said to the president about that. Do you think that was the biggest mistake you made? The man lied. He knew good and doggone well. They talked about it.
He said it was
grandfathered
in.
It wasn't grandfathered. That's a lie.
In.
He said it grandfathered more people in. That was a freaking lie.
The thing was, there was grandfather language in there, but they couldn't even move your premium $5.
Sticks in the original bill, same one that had the SID chips in it.
Jeff, can I say it this way?
Yeah.
he didn't
lie.
No, Jeff, he didn't lie.
Okay.
Do you remember the Jefferson?
I told you. No.
You remember the Jefferson?
Yeah, I remember.
Remember George Jefferson? What he did was a Jefferson curve.
George Jefferson lied.
No. George Jefferson did not have. George Jefferson from Good Not Good Times. What is it called? The Jefferson TV show.
Yeah.
George Jefferson was asked a question, and he said it's called the Jefferson curve.
Mm-hmm.
Don't blame President Obama because he's mastered the Jefferson curve.
I had a foreman in the mill.
Hi, Tracy.
Hi, Stanley. Hold on. Go ahead, Eric. I need to bring you up next.
Oh. Yeah, Tracy. The problem I'm hearing.
Hold on, Stanley. Hold on, Stanley. Hold on. I said Eric. I said Eric.
Okay,
Eric, go ahead.
Okay, you were saying before the break, you know, everybody's talking about, you know, this whole black and white thing. You don't support him because he's black. I'm not going to support anybody. You're not going to drive me over a cliff just because you're black and say it's okay. I'm just not going to do that.
Well, why not?
That's
why
not intelligent.
Eric?
It's not intelligent.
I mean, that's not. Six asked me something during the break. And he said, why would leaders of a community do something? And I said, well, who's your leader?
That's a good one.
And he looked at me like, what is she talking about? Why would your leader? I said, well, who's your leader? So who's your leader, Sticks?
My pastor?
No, who's your community leader? Who leads the white community?
Nobody.
So why do I have to
we're
have
like,
a leader?
We're like herding cats.
So why do I have to have a leader?
Right.
You don't, but you got people that stand up and say they are your leader, and I don't hear nobody saying that they're not.
Yeah, we do. We say they just don't listen.
Well,
Eric, you got a leader?
Very few of us say that they're not.
I know Diva and Stanley got a leader. Hi, Stanley. How are you, honey?
My leader is Christ.
Go ahead, Stanley.
Go ahead, Stanley.
The problem I'm hearing, and I have to agree with Diva, is, Jeff, as soon as we talk about any president that's Republican and we tell you he lied, you say, no, he didn't. He didn't do that. But as soon as we come with our president and he basically did what he did, basically deviate the question, he lied.
Oh, come on, Jeff.
You can't have it both ways. You can't have it when George Bush, we tell you George Bush lied, you tell me, no, he didn't. He didn't lie, Stanley. And then we tell you he did.
What did George Bush lie about?
Yeah. Thank you.
The Iraq War, do we need to go back
there
again?
Here we go.
Do we need to go back
there
again?
Here we go. Here we go again.
I got a war.
He asked me the question. I answered him the question.
Hold on.
There you go.
Go on.
I'm going to tell Jeb the same thing. If you're telling me my president lied, I'm going to tell your ex-president lied too. So don't even
–
and Reagan lied, and Clinton lied, and let's go to all the presidents. They all lied. So, Jeff, what do you bring?
See, and that's the argument that the left always does. The left will always say – When there's a Republican president in office, they'll say scumbag, 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 and then their president gets in, messes up. It's for all to see. Everybody can see it. And they go, well, all presidents are like that.
Yeah.
I'm telling you that when we tell you that he lied, don't come with it. If you're going to be fair with everybody. Don't tell
Stanley.
Him that, no, he didn't, and he did.
Stanley.
You have one example, though, man.
Period.
Go with facts.
Hold on,
go with facts. Don't come with assumption. Go with facts. If you're telling me this guy lied, and I'm like, yes, he does. I don't care if it's Obama. I don't care if it's Bush. But if I bring you as a person who's voted for this guy lied, the ex-president lied, don't come and cover it up and say, no, he didn't.
Hold on, Stanley. What'd you say, Eric?
Two lies don't equal the truth, Stanley. So you can't keep
of
justifying
course,
lies.
I agree with you. But don't do it, because Republican, you do. When we bring you
Hold
the facts, you do.
What did you say, Jeff?
First of all, you are incorrect that he lied about the whole situation, and this is why. I can show you.
Oh,
Congress,
boy.
No, listen then, Stanley, you want to know the truth. Congress, from Hillary Clinton to two or three people that said the same thing about Saddam Hussein and those.
I'm not talking about Congress, Jeff. I'm not talking about Congress. I'm talking about the President of the United States.
Listen.
Wait, Jeff.
Stanley,
I'm not talking about Congress.
Shut up, Stanley.
Go ahead.
Stanley, hold on.
Now,
hold on. Listen, Stanley. Everyone, I'm going to let everybody get their point out in its entirety because what happens is you talk across them, it comes out mush, and you don't get the point out. So, Stanley, wait until Jeff finishes, and then I'm going to bring 440. Hold on, Jeff, and then I'm going to bring 440 in. Go ahead,
Stanley. You are incorrect. All of Congress, every other nation in the world, every intelligence in the world had the weapons of mass destruction report on Iraq. Now, this is the deal. We knew we had them because we gave them to him. We don't forget, we put Saddam Hussein in power during Jimmy Carter's administration because they had overthrown Iran and we needed a balance of power in the Middle East. We made a deal with Iraq, and we bankrolled him and gave him weapons for the 10-year war he had with them. We knew what he had. We used the legal thing that he would not let us in to investigate those sites because, you know, he had money and he had the ability to do these weapons. That's what happened. Every Democrat said the same doggone thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, he did not lie, and they don't get their intelligence just from the White House. They get their intelligence independently in the Congress so that they can check the White House. That's what that branch of government is for. So you, once again, you were told talking points from the Democrat Party, something that's true.
Okay.
That was
okay.
Not a lie.
Let me also.
Okay, can I come back to that, Tracy?
Hold on, Stanley. Hold on, because I'm just going to have an addendum. If you go online, you can now pull
up
all of the information that they had when they made the declaration of war. And if you look at it, if you read the information that they had, whether the intel be correct and or not of where they were located, you would have made the same declaration as Congress. Go ahead, stick them, because I got to bring Stanley back in the 440.
The second in command of the Iraqi Air Force, George Sada, wrote a book saying that the weapons of mass destruction were transported from Iraq to Syria in the 18 months leading up to the war.
Go ahead, Stanley, and then I got to pull 440.
Okay. Let's all remember what happened when George Bush did the State of Union, and he said in front of everybody that I'm going to war for one reason, because Saddam Hussein has weapon of mass destruction. He didn't say I'm doing it. He didn't say I'm doing it for anything. He didn't come with Clinton. He didn't come with anything, and I don't care. I'm going with the word of the President of the United States. Every person that's in it. Wait, Jeff, let me finish, because you're coming up with facts that are not true. Okay, Jeff? Every person since that war, every expert since that war said that was a lie. Every expert.
No, it isn't.
Okay?
That's not true.
I can bring you 20 experts. I can do videotapes on YouTube that will show you that was a lie. He came with a lie. He thought it was a president. And every person asked him, where are the weapons? That's what brought Obama to win the election, by the way.
Go ahead, 440. How are you? Good morning.
I'm doing good.
Welcome to Tracy and Friends.
Yeah. I don't think it really matters who's lying and who's not. I mean, we're all you're all missing. You're not keeping your eye on the prize. What the prize is that this president wants to bring in all the Hispanics that he can, make them citizens. You are going to be irrelevant. And you're defending it. It's like, it's amazing to me. This guy is selling you out for votes. The Democratic Party is selling you out for Hispanic vote. You will be irrelevant as soon as they make them citizens. You're done. You are done. That's all I got to say.
Well, I'll have to say this.
When you
too.
Say you, I don't. When you say you, who are you? Who are you?
Black people.
He can't be talking about black people.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he is.
He's right. He's absolutely correct.
This has been said on this show before. That's why he said what he said. But the fact is, we are already irrelevant to the Republican Party. As a whole.
Not.
We are. They do not come after our vote.
Talk about stuff you don't know.
They do not come after our vote. They even
Diva.
Even Mitt Romney
that,
even
that's
said
the attitude
it.
When you have that leadership mindset, well, you need a leader. Of course, you feel that way.
See,
Diva, we're
see,
not looking for leaders.
People
Diva.
All think
not,
that every African American thinks the same, and that we all need a leader. Not every African American, not every African American thinks the same. You are supposed to get the votes that you can from a certain group. They don't even try. That's the problem. They don't even
try. I'm sorry. Diva, if, when they try, you spit on them. You have to understand, when they show up, Diva, when they show up at a black event, that we can be extremely, do you realize that this is the first time that the ex-president did not show up, did not speak at an inaugural address, the outgoing president did not speak at an inaugural address was when President
One
Obama was.
One thing that I've
was,
learned in my communications
Diva.
Class was
Diva.
That you speak to your audience.
Mitt Romney showed up
do
in
not
the
go to a particular audience seeking
Diva.
That.
Diva, listen, I told you, I'm not letting people talk on you and you're not going to talk on me. And that's just the rules, and that's going to be the rules of 2014 and beyond. We have to understand that we, as African Americans, we can be extremely rude when we want to. And when Republicans have shown up and extended our hand and tried to come out and find out what people wanted, you have seen us poo-poo on them.
Mitt Romney went to the NAACP convention and got booed off the stage. Obama didn't even bother to show up, but nobody said a word.
Right. And no one said anything. I watched them actually dog George W. Bush, who was the president of the United States, out when he went to the NAACP dinner and convention. We need to stop and say, well, you know, they didn't go after our vote as they should have, and I will give you that. But you have to understand, when we come out and try to get your vote, you spew on us. What do you want people to do?
When you talk like you and Jeff do, I'm going to shut out. Most people are going to shut down and not listen.
Well, good.
Some of the things that you guys can say, even though you think you
Diva, Diva, you quit putting me and Jeff in the same boat.
Right.
I am not Jeff. And just because I'm I am a Republican does not mean I'm the same Republican as Jeff. People are individuals. Unless you want me to put
you
in the same boat of a thug who is a liberal also, then you need to speak for your own mind and not speak in collective mind.
Tracy, how you guys view and talk about black Democrats, you both speak the same language. You may be a little bit less. Yes, you guys do. I hear you on the radio all the time. You do. That's the problem. Maybe that's the problem because you guys don't hear yourself. And when somebody tells you, like, this, you talking to me,
My thoughts are equal. You know, I'm just trying to tell people that they need to be independent in thought.
I get what you're saying.
So tell me this. Tell me, why is it black people are not monolithic on anything except for their politics? Can you explain that to me?
I get what you're saying, and I'm saying even your intentions are good. I don't have a problem with your intentions.
Just right past it.
But sometimes people will
shut you out.
Of your delivery. That's all I'm saying.
What you just said didn't even matter to what
I'm taking a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. Did I just not mention?
You tried to.
I said.
You tried.
Monolithic. We're all the same.
Yep.
Okay, I got to go. I'll be right back.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point.
Stanley.
Yeah, Diva, I'm here.
I was biting my tongue so bad because how many times have you and I heard Jeff say that George Bush did not lie?
He keep on saying this. I wanted to go to YouTube and go to the State of Union, and like I said, he said this: I'm going to war for one reason, because he has weapon of mass destruction. And then
How many times Jeff told us that's not the reason why they went? They went because Saddam Hussein was doing something with the oil and the currency over there. He's trying to switch the oil from dollar to a different currency. Isn't that what he told us?
Yes, I remember
that. So if George Bush says, I'm going to war because of weapons of mass destruction, but you, Jeff, know that that's not truly why they went to war, wouldn't you say that that's a lie?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
When Colin Powell stood up there at the UN and said that they have evidence that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction, I believe at the time when they first got the intelligence that was true. But I clearly remember Saddam Hussein saying he didn't have it. He didn't have it. And then the second round of intelligence came out that he did not have it. He moved it, and they went to war anyway. So why still go to war if he moved it out of his own country?
And also everybody from different country was asking Colin Powell in live thing, show us the proof.
Right. I don't remember everybody being on board. I'm sorry.
Oh,
I remember.
They were not on board. France was not on board. Germany was on board. A lot of country was not on board. A lot of countries said to. I remember that thing. Colin Powell, they said, show us the proof, and if you can show us the proof, we're going to do the same thing that we did with George Bush Senior. We will all bring our army with you, and
this
we'll
was
go
not.
There.
This was a UK United States coalition.
War. That's it. The rest of the people were like,
and then you had
Italian
no ragtag.
Also.
You had the Australians. You had a couple of other. You had our allies. They did not send troops mainly. They sent other support.
Yeah. No,
so the most troops that were dedicated was the United States of America. I'm sorry. I remember that not every single country wanted to go to a full-fledged war. Me personally, why did we have to go through it? Why did we have to put boots
war
on the ground for
WSOM.
Exactly. And
now, here's Tracy.
House Armed Services testimony. General Carter Ham, you know the general, security in Africa. He testified that on the day that the ambassador was murdered and the three other Americans, all right, he told Secretary Panetta it was a terrorist attack. Shortly after General Ham said that, Secretary Panetta came in to you.
Yeah.
Did he tell you, Secretary Panetta, it was a terrorist attack?
You know, what he told me was that there was an attack on our compound.
He didn't use the word terror?
You know, in the heat of the moment, Bill, what folks are focused on is what's happening on the ground. Do we have eyes on it? How can we make sure our folks are secure?
I just want to get this on the record. Did he tell you it was a terror attack?
Bill, and what I'm answering your question. What he said to me was, we've got an attack on our compound. We don't know yet who's doing it. Understand by definition, Bill, when somebody is attacking our compound, that's an act of terror, which is how I characterized it the day after it happened. So the question ends up being, who in fact was attacking us?
But it's more than
Susan
Rice.
No,
it's more than that because if Susan Rice goes out and tells the world that it was a spontaneous demonstration off a videotape, but your commanders and the Secretary of Defense know it's a terror attack.
I'm just confused. And I'm trying to explain it to you if you want to listen. The fact of the matter is that people understood at the time something very dangerous was happening, that we were focused on making sure that we did everything we could to protect them. In the aftermath, what became clear was that the security was lax, that not all the precautions that needed to be taken were taken, and both myself and Secretary Clinton and others indicated as much. But at the moment, when these things happen, Bill, on the other side of the world,
it's the fog of war.
People don't know at the very moment exactly why something like this happens. And when you look at the videotape of this whole thing unfolding, this is not some systematic, well-organized process. You see,
it was heavy weapons used, and that's heavy weapons coming in.
Bill, listen, I've gone through this, and we have had multiple hearings on it. What happens is,
you have an attack like this taking place, and you have a mix of folks who are just troublemakers. You have folks who have an ideological agenda.
All right.
You have some who are affiliated with terrorist organizations. You have some that are not. But the main thing that all of us have to take away from this is our diplomats are serving in some very dangerous places.
But
and
more,
we've got
more
and
than
we've
that.
Got, and we've got to make sure that not only have we implemented all the reforms that were recommended by the independent agency, but we also have to make sure that we understand our folks out there are in a hazardous, dangerous situation.
I think everybody
and
understands that.
No, but actually, not everybody does, because what ends up happening, what ends up happening is we end up creating a political agenda on
absolutely,
something
and that was my next question.
Democrats and Republicans should be unified in trying to figure out how are we going to protect people.
I got to get to the IRS, but I just want to say that there, your detractors believe that you did not tell the world it was a terror attack because your campaign didn't want that out.
Bill, think
that's
about
that's what they believe.
And they believe it because folks like you are telling
no,
them
I'm
that.
Not telling them that. I'm asking you whether you were
and
told it was a terror
is,
attack.
And what I'm
and
saying
you,
is that is inaccurate.
All right.
We revealed to the American people exactly what we understood at the time. The notion that we would hide the ball for political purposes when a week later we all said, in fact, there was a terrorist attack taking place the day after I said it was an act of terror, that wouldn't be a very good cover-up
right.
if that's what we were...
I got to get to the IRS because I don't know what happened there, and I'm hoping maybe you can tell us. Douglas Shulman, former IRS chief, he was cleared into the White House 157 times, more than any of your cabinet members, more than any other IRS guy in the history by far. Okay, why was Douglas Shulman here 157 times? Why?
Mr. Shulman, as the head of the IRS, is constantly coming in because at the time we were trying to set up the healthcare.gov. And the
what did
IRS,
he have to do with that?
The IRS is involved in making sure that that works as part of the overall healthcare team.
So it was all healthcare?
Number two, we've also got the IRS involved when it comes to some of the financial reforms to make sure that we don't have taxpayer-funded bailouts in the future. So you have all these different agendas in which the head of the IRS is naturally involved.
Did you speak to him a lot yourself?
I do not recall meeting with him in any of these meetings that are pretty routine meetings.
Okay, so you don't recall seeing Shulman because what some people are saying is that the IRS was used at a local level in Cincinnati, maybe other places, to
absolutely
go after.
Wrong.
But
absolutely.
How do you know that? Because we still don't know what happened there.
Bill, we do. That's not what happened. Folks have, again, had multiple hearings on this. I mean, these kinds of things keep on surfacing, in part because you and your TV station will promote them. But when
don't
folks
you feel
actually,
on
there you go. I just
Bill,
I just had to get to that point. Nah, he should tear his behind right there.
Hold on.
He should have stepped in there and gave him two of them because he lied throughout the whole thing. He never answered one single question. Not one. I'm so upset. I didn't dislike him in the beginning. I'm starting to dislike him because he thinks that everybody's stupid.
Okay. Let's go down the line.
You've always disliked the president. You lying right
no,
there.
No, I didn't. Don't tell me
you
what I
liked and
didn't like.
You always said you didn't like him.
I don't
come
like
on
his
now.
Policies. I did not like no, what he stood
nope,
for
nope.
because
That's
I knew
not what
it
you
before
said.
He got there, Diva. That is exactly what I think.
No, Jeff,
I don't
you
dislike
always
people.
Jeff,
I don't
Jeff,
hate nobody
Jeff,
in the
Jeff.
World. Can I take control
Jeff,
of the again?
Jeff, since I've been listening to this show,
Diva,
which is 4 years
can,
now,
can
you've been
I
saying
please?
I dislike
can
that
I,
guy. I do not like him.
I didn't tell you that at all. That's a lie.
Can I open my show ahead. Again? Hi, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOS. The number is 347-945-5229. I try to take control of my show, but I can't because folks just crazy. I don't understand. So, I'm going to go down
you,
the
Tracy.
Line.
We
no.
love you, Tracy.
No, Diva. Don't try to butter up. No.
We do.
South Carolina, is there anything that you would like to say since they've shut you out completely? He didn't even have his phone on. 706, good morning.
Yes, how you doing?
Good, how are you this morning? Where are you calling from?
Well, I'm a truck driver right now. I'm in Ohio, but I live in Augusta, Georgia.
Well, welcome to Youngstown, Ohio.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I've been there before. I'd like to ask the lady that said that the president was a liar. I would like to ask her, what did he lie about in that interview?
That's, well, I'm not a lady, first of all. But he lied about. That's okay. That's okay. He lied about what happened in Benghazi, because the man told him it was absolutely a terror attack the night he reported it, and he sent his transcript. So that's a lie. When it goes back to the healthcare
thing. Can I ask a question? Okay, can I ask another question? What are your facts, your sources that you know that for a fact?
The general that O'Reilly just said he talked to. He was on TV. He showed the transcript. He showed everything.
General Hamm.
Jeff, just because one general said that, I didn't call your name out.
We're gonna do this right. I'm still on 706, the truck driver. So, Jeff, and I guess Matt just threw in, he was General Hamm, H-A-M.
Right.
So you can write that down, and you can go Google it.
You go check General Hamm.
M-M.
M-M, yeah, there's two M's.
It'll come up either way.
No, 706?
Well, he lied about the health care thing. He knew good and doggone well. They knew it. They had it in that. They had a memo on it that they had a discussion in the White House. And the people have the record of the transcripts of that discussion saying, you know, you're not going to, you know, you're only going to have so many doctors you're going to allow on the plan. There's, you know, every doctor is not going to be listed on this plan.
And also, let me, and just as an addendum to what he's saying, he also, when the IRS, they have not done a thorough investigation, nor have they really gotten to the core of it. And there may be plausible deniability when it comes to the president, but the same thing is happening with Christie right now. But nobody wants to. I don't understand how we're talking about New Jersey every day, but we can't talk about the White House every day.
Right. Not going.
I will have to back Jeff up.
Hold on, Diva. 706. Any other questions? He's new. Get the brother a break. Let him in and let him get it before we jump on him. Pounce. How you doing, truck driver? Go ahead.
I just stopped talking because everybody was talking, so I just stopped.
He didn't listen to that. He's a gentleman. A gentleman truck driver. You all see that? He heard everybody talking, so he got quiet. Go ahead.
I didn't hear that myself, what Bill O'Reilly said. I just came in on this. So you said he lied about everything. What else did he lie about?
I said he lied on every issue. He lied on the IRS involvement. Why the one gentleman from the IRS was going back and forth talking about they had to make the website right. The website wasn't right, and it was nowhere near right. And why did the man come 157 times? You have to understand that what they're doing is they're setting up the total control of America through health care. 1/6 of your economy. You can't do nothing now. They own you. If they tell you to stop eating hamburgers, you will stop eating hamburgers, or you will not get health care coverage. You will stop eating potato chips if they tell you to. You can't go down the street and get a beer at the corner bar if they tell you, you know what, you know your gut is a little bit too big. We're not going to let you do that. They have control of you. You gave the government control. You don't do
I would
that.
Have to,
this
Jeff,
is a free nation.
To,
I'm not
wait,
talking
wait,
to you, Diva.
Diva,
you know,
I have to question you.
Diva,
Didn't I tell you I was going to call y'all out? Because remember, you've got a gentleman truck driver who's trying to be nice, and he's having a dialogue with Jeff one at a time. So I want to make sure that they're done before I bring you guys in for it. Okay, y'all done?
Yeah, 706,
did he answer all your questions?
Well, not really, but okay. I mean, my thing is this: so you don't agree that we should have an Affordable Health Care Act?
No. And let me say
this.
Let me say it to you this way, and this must be your first time listening to the show.
Right.
Okay.
I believe, as a Tracy, and as a Republican, as a conservative, that we ought to have access to affordable health care.
Absolutely.
And I believe the Republicans dropped the ball because they are so up in the clouds that they did not deal with people issues. That's my personal opinion, and I tell them that when every time I get a chance. With that said, the law in which we have right now called Obamacare or also the Affordable Health Care Act is a bad law.
it is going to destroy and diminish the freedoms that we have as Americans, and I don't think we're paying attention to that.
And not only is it not going to be affordable either.
And those of us who are not wealthy, it's going to be a nationalized program, and so the people with money are always going to get the best, but the people at the bottom, they're not going to get anything. And so it hurts poor people and people of color more so than it hurts anyone else. And I don't think that's right. And they're being very, very disingenuous with what they're talking about. When we talk about the rollout, when we talk about all these things, that they use a lot of words and they use a lot of innuendos, but a lot of them are what they call, they're very, very misleading. They don't tell you that when you keep your child on your health care until they're 26, how much your premiums go up exponentially if you hold on to them as you're in school. They don't tell you that.
They also don't tell you and emphasize the point that 30 million people are still not going to be covered by 2016. 30 million still won't be covered.
So when they talk about all these things, even with Susan Rice, they knew what was going on when she went on the morning talk shows and talked about a video. They knew.
And, video had nothing to do with Bingo.
And they were just can I tell you two?
No,
but my problem is not with whether you're Republican or Democrat. My problem is with the disingenuous. My problem is with people. President Obama uses, and Jeff and I disagree with this. Jeff said he comes out with straight lies. What I say is he is very, very disingenuous in his conversation because he mentions his words, so they sound as though it's what you want to hear, but it's never the total truth and or fact of a matter. So you have to actually separate every word. And I use this analogy. I was watching. Magic Johnson has a new video out to get people to go on the Affordable Health Care Act. And this is what he says. And if you go to whitehouse.gov and you pull up Magic Johnson, you'll be able to see the video. He said, if it had not been for affordable health care, I would have died when I was diagnosed with HIV.
Well, we know that's not true.
No. It was true. You got to understand what he said. He said,
okay.
If it was not for affordable health care, which means health care that he could afford, he did not say the Affordable Health Care Act. He left that part off.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And as I told Jeff earlier, it's like, I'm a George Jefferson fan. George Jefferson says that was called the Jefferson Curve. You move your little words around or that you don't ask the total question or you leave something out so that you get the answer and or the conversation that you want to have.
Tracy, I had a foreman in the mill, and he would say it was the truth as I knew it at the time.
Right.
Correct. Correct. And so,
that's a good one. That's exactly. But that's not the truth as he knew it at the time because he was told that night it was a freaking.
But how he phrased his words, he did not lie. So you cannot get him on perjury, but what you can get is what he knew. He told you what he knew based on what he wanted you to know, but he did not tell you that he knew it all.
He knew it all, though.
I know
and
he knew.
He says he didn't know it all. He's lying.
But he didn't say
and
he didn't know. Jeff, he didn't say he didn't know it all.
Listen, he takes advantage of poor and black people, and he gets them excited with things like this. This coming up, this income inequality. That's going to be all year long. And he's going to try to say stuff just like he raised that rate to $10.10 an hour. Where the heck he get $10.10 an hour from? Why not just $11 an hour or something like
because
that?
Because it was a good number.
It was stupid.
It wasn't stupid. It was a good number.
It was stupid, and if you go for it, you're stupid.
But, Jeff,
but
it's
here's
not
the
stupid.
Thing. Look, yes, it is stupid.
It is not stupid.
Okay. Tracy, I can't argue the truth with you.
Tracy, are we going to talk or Jeff is
going to
keep on saying that our president is stupid?
I apologize, Stanley, if I told you that I think the president is stupid, because I do not think he's stupid. So if I said that, I apologize. He thinks that the people are stupid, and he takes advantage of black and poor people.
No, he does, and that's just true.
Your ignorance.
He doesn't. And the media plays into it because no one tells you and or asks the questions that so that you can get the information out that you need to know, because nobody wants you to be educated. They don't want you educated in anything that's going to rock the boat. Not so blind, Mike, your mic is on.
Hey, good morning, Tracy. Tracy, I just want to weigh in on 2 points on this. One topic you haven't touched on, but the one you said where you were saying, you know, it's going to make health care unaffordable for the poor. The poor will always have better health care than the middle class because the poor will
correct.
Be federally funded. The middle class and the working poor are the ones who are going to really take it in the wrong side, you know? The other thing is, the other thing lying with the truth is the misrepresentation of the employment numbers, that he has created 9 million jobs in the last 5 years. That is true. No problem there. That is the truth. The problem is during that same five-year period, 12 million people have turned 18 years old and have moved into the job market. It's not even keeping up with the growth in the population. And the fact that unemployment is down, that's people who are collecting checks or filing. It doesn't include millions upon millions, and I've seen the number pretty high, of people who've given up
92.
Looking for work or who are currently employed at 25 or 30 hours a week. They're not in those numbers anymore.
92 million people are out of work, and not only that, of those jobs he's saying, how many million did you say?
It was 9 million he takes credit for in the last 5 years, which is 3 million shorter than what you would need just to keep up with population growth.
How about 4.5 or 5 million of those being part-time jobs?
And most of them are low-end paying jobs. They're not the higher sector jobs.
Thank you.
All I would like to say is
the government job
that's
created.
Tracy, are we going to say something, or is it going to be?
Hold on. Stanley, listen, you got to work with me on this. There are 14 people in the queue. Do you hear me voicing that?
And when we talk, are you going to let Jeff interrupt us?
I'm doing my best. If you don't interrupt
okay.
me, hold on.
Okay.
Go ahead, Vic.
And according to the lawyers and the Huffington
just one
Post.
Last point, if I can make it.
Okay,
Jeff, the 1010 is not stupid. What they did was they took the minimum wage when they set it last, and they looked at the cost of living, and they just did the math, and it was some percentage, and it came out to be $10.10 to have parity with the seven whatever minimum wage it
is
now, based upon when they first instituted it 10 years ago.
Just real quick here, I'm looking at a Huffington Post article. It says 75% of jobs created this year were part-time. So of those jobs that he's claiming for creating, the majority of them are not even full-time jobs.
Quite a few of them are. You're right. I mean, and
when
and
they say part-time, doesn't necessarily
Diva,
mean.
You 14 people.
Diva, let them.
What does 14 people mean? Can you explain that to me? And if you guys don't work with me, I will shut this down to where we will do one-on-one completely. So, go ahead, Stanley.
No, I'll let first Diva go in because I want
no,
Diva.
I'll let Diva first go in.
Okay, first of all, there's many things that I'm hearing from both of you guys, whatever. The stats of the unemployment and everything, I would first go and look at all those numbers. Yes, you're right. I've said it before, you were right, those numbers, but I'm sure that a lot of presidents use those numbers to their favor. So he's not the only one who's used that favor. So if you're going to blame Obama saying he's not honest with that part, blame George Bush of not being honest with that part also. So
can
I
ask you a question?
I'm tired of us.
Listen, I'm not talking about George Bush is at home riding on a yacht in Texas.
A horse.
Okay, Tracy, let me ask you. I'm going to tell you why I'm bringing that back. Because I didn't hear none of you guys say anything about the unemployment. Let me just finish. I didn't hear any of you guys say the same thing on unemployment. I did hear from you, Tracy, and I appreciate that you're the only one that said, hey, as a Republican, man, we didn't do nothing on health care. So how the hell can we say that this is wrong? Finally, a Republican said that. I appreciate you said that because none of you done something. And
but
I'm Stanley, sorry.
But I really need for you to understand. Bush is at home in Texas on a horse. When Bush was in, nothing changed. It's just being real. But right now, what's going on today is not Bush's fault.
No,
and we need to push
Bush's
past
fault.
That.
Of course,
because
it's not
things,
I agree with you,
but,
Tracy.
It is
it's
a culmination of.
But did we have the same standard with Bush was in?
It's the same game, different characters. And right now, the only people that are losing at this game are the American people who are sitting on the sidelines. And because they get as caught up into crazy stuff, like who's lying and who ain't lying, instead of realizing that nobody's doing their job, we are where we are. They don't want you to know. So when we tell you a fact, you tell me a fact. They don't want either one of us to know any of the facts and or the truth. Because as long as we are ignorant, they go out and do what they want to do. And we need to acknowledge that. Because that's just real. In the world, go ahead, Diva. Then I'm going to Matt.
I just want to say that President Obama needs to get him an Olivia Pope or someone because he botched that interview. For one, I do believe Leon Panetta did tell him it was a terrorist attack. However, President Obama is not the type of person without all his ducks in a row, all his I's dotted and T's crossed, he's going to go out and really put that out there. Because
he
didn't have all the intelligence at first. And that's all he had to say was, look, he told me it was a terrorist attack. I didn't have all the intelligence. I didn't have all the information I felt comfortable enough with. So, to me, it stayed as an act of terror. Number two, you guys are up here talking about, darn it, and you made me lose my train of thought.
Diva, have you applied for the White House job?
I know. I'm like, Dick Carney, whoever needs to be fired, for real, because they're making me mad, because they're making the president look
you really,
bad.
You really need to go and be his press secretary, because you have had, you.
Yeah.
I mean, you got the Kool-Aid down.
Yeah.
Yeah. It sounds so good. Even I want a glass now.
No, not me.
No, I want that. No, Matt, you got anything to say with this? Because you made some comments in the chat room, so I want you to bring some of those out.
Well, it's the same story going round and round with you know, what Bush did or Bush this and the other thing. Listen, again, I'm going to tell your listening audience that for years, at least I know I was calling Bush out on Medicare Part D, on the Patriot Act, on all of these things. Now, and I'm going to say again that after I do that, and I didn't vote for President Bush his second term, okay? And I know a lot of other people that didn't vote for Bush's second term because he was doing progressive things. He was doing what the left does, and we didn't like it. But now we fall back into this 5 years into Obama. We're still blaming Bush, and we're not holding our president. The man is our president. I hate to say that, but that's our president. We're not holding him to task. We're just, on the left, we're just saying, well, he's the president. What is that? What kind of argument is that?
Well, and the thing, one of the things is they have about the same amount of evidence that the IRS was doing political favors for the White House with this president as they had with Nixon. And there is no investigation.
He just told you. That was the end.
Well, here's the thing, and let me add this thing to what Diva said. He didn't have all the intelligence. That's a freaking lie. And I would use stronger language if we weren't on radio.
Thank God.
And the thing is I'm telling you this, you cannot be stupid. The President of the United States has every bit of information on when one of our particular places is attacked. Why? Because we have security up the yin-yang. You have cameras up the yin-yang. You have people that report real-time every single minute of anything that goes on there.
And let me say this. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about technology and the satellites that they're
active.
Google satellite that you watch. You get to watch delayed time. You don't get to see it in real time. The president has real time. We'll be right back. You're listening
Thank
to Tracy
you.
And Friends
Again.
Here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-9.
Jeff needs to quit watching shows like 24.
Diva.
With Jack,
yeah.
What's his name? Jack Bauer?
Yeah.
That was
Jack
that his
Bauer.
Name?
Yeah.
Because
Jack Bauer.
What he's expecting for real life to pan out to be. You can't sit there and tell me, I don't care what you're doing, who you are, that you're going to know every single detail and every single
Diva.
Moment right then and there. Sorry,
he had the most important
fine.
Piece of technology in front of him that he needed that day. He had a calendar, and he was counting the days to the election that he had to keep the story squat.
Oh, boy.
Because
so,
his pitch was Al-Qaeda was defeated.
I'm sorry.
And Al-Qaeda rose
there?
Up,
why
and
you go there?
He would not have won the election.
But why do you
out.
Go there? Wait a minute. Why do you go
and
there?
Stanley,
maybe he didn't.
You sound like
because
a little child.
Maybe he didn't.
You have to blame this president.
Why does that matter?
How about this president does something different? How about if he comes out and says, I know all the other presidents lied, but I'm going to be the first to tell you the truth. How about that, Sally? Instead of saying, well, he can lie because all the others lied. That was lame. That's like little kids.
Okay.
What about you
having the assumption that you know what he's thinking in his mind? And
I don't
like
know what he's thinking.
Wait. Let me finish. Why are you having the assumption that he knows his mind?
I do.
Right,
I never said I had the
me,
assumption.
I'm telling you that he
was looking at the election. He's
wait,
a politician, this
wait,
guy.
Wait, can I talk? Wait.
No.
I
said something I didn't say.
You can't get to where you are in that position.
To the election.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, to the election. First of all, you can't go to what you are to the election. He said maybe he did what Diva said. Maybe he saw maybe the general did come, like he said, with the information. I think it's a terrorist, right? And he's not the type who's going to say he's a terrorist. He's the type that's going to get all the information, accumulate, and there's some people like this. I am one of those people.
He's got drones flying everybody, killing everyone in real time, though. Yeah, he's
within
got drones all over the world killing people in real time.
Came out and said, in fact, it was a terrorist attack, and it had nothing to do with the video. That's when they came out 2 weeks later and said, but you guys keep refusing to hear that. You're mad that because that night or the next day, he didn't say it was a terrorist attack. I'm like, what does it matter about the word terrorist? Why does it matter so much that he didn't call it a terrorist attack right off the bat to you guys? That's what I want to know. You guys are still mad because you lost the election. You guys are still mad because he didn't call it a terrorist attack that night.
I wouldn't care if he didn't use the word
terrorist. What difference would have made if he would have said it's a terrorist attack? Tell me what's the difference.
He's referred to it as a
tell me what's the difference
that became
if tomorrow
violent.
If
we're supposed
tell
to believe
me what's
this
the
was
difference?
An impromptu protest.
Okay, what's the difference?
When they
tell
show up your door
difference.
With automatic weapons
he
in the
never
middle
said
night,
it was
it's not a protest.
Protest.
And it's not spontaneous.
The next morning, he came out and said that this was an act of terror. You guys are mad because he didn't specifically said it was a terrorist attack. I want to know why are you guys so mad that he did not use those specific words?
Because we still don't know who dropped the ball, Diva. Come on, Diva, did you know it was 9/11? Diva, sweetheart, you sitting at home is a nice person, an ordinary citizen. Do you look at the calendar every year realizing 9/11 is coming up, the anniversary? Do you pay attention? Why shouldn't they have paid attention? They didn't think we were going to have violence, lock down the embassies. All the other countries in the world did.
Wait, what are you talking?
The coalition government turned their people out of Libya the month before.
Okay. Why?
Why?
Because
they knew there would be violence.
Libya, there's violence all across this world.
Not on 9/11. 9/11 is an anniversary. It's a day you look for. Anybody with an intelligence brain.
It's an anniversary for what?
Because it could be a possible terrorist. But you guys are forgetting in that same information, General Hammond also was talking about how Christopher Stevens, the ambassador who got killed, let go of his own extra security. He refused to keep them on. So if he refused to keep them on, what does that say? Even he was not too worried about his safety. So if somebody else is not worried about their own safety,
so we don't know what he really did because we don't have the investigation, and General Hamlin is a big supporter of the White House.
So if we don't have the investigation for what just Diva,
because they wouldn't buy the crap anymore in the last 3 years. What about the 14 generals that have resigned?
Why, like Diva is saying, why are you still talking about that? Like, are you mad because you lost the election?
Because it's endemic
to the cancer that is infecting Washington.
It's okay to lie to the people, Stanley. It's not about being mad about it. It's about having a word up that we're not being told the truth.
And
we can't run this government on lies. We have nothing but enemies around the world. Stanley, even you don't like the United States.
There was the lie.
We don't even like the United States because of all the crap it pulls. Who pulls it? Diva isn't corrupt.
Hold on. There was somebody trying to get in there. Who was that?
I don't know.
It was a voice I hadn't heard during the break there, so I thought I heard somebody trying to get in. All right, go back.
I just want to know what was going on.
I don't understand. You're saying that he did it for the election? You're saying he did that for the election? And then I'm telling you, are you still mad because of the election? Say, no, it has nothing to do with the election. So why are you coming up with that?
Don't put those words in my
mouth. So why are you coming up with that? You're assuming things
in the government on lies.
You're assuming things. Okay.
There's
somebody
it's a corrupt
else.
Government.
Wait a minute, but we elect these people. The American people are good people. Elect these people. So what
because
does that mean?
American people
to.
Elected the president.
Do you think
it's
the average
American people
if they
elected
don't do
this president?
Well, under Democrats, there'd be Democrats
but
being elected.
There's somebody who's trying to
confusing.
Speak.
No,
oh, okay.
That the folks did not know how to implement. Okay. Because it basically says,
so you're saying
if you're
involved, no corruption there at all. No,
that's not what I'm saying. That's actually
no. But I want to know what you're saying. You're the leader
absolutely.
Of the country. You're saying no corruption.
No.
None.
No. There were some boneheaded decisions.
Boneheaded
out of a
but
local
no
office.
Mass corruption.
Not even mass corruption. Not even a smidgen of corruption.
Okay. I got a letter from Kathy Lemaster, Fresno, California. I said I would read one letter for
right.
the folks. All right, Mr. President. Why do you feel it's necessary to fundamentally transform the nation that has afforded you so much opportunity and success?
I don't think we have to fundamentally transform the
but
nation.
But those are your words.
I think that what we have to do is make sure that here in America, if you work hard, you can get ahead. Bill, you and I benefited from this incredible country of ours, in part because there were good jobs out there that paid a good wage, because you had public schools that functioned well. That we could get scholarships if we didn't come from a wealthy family in order to go to college.
Right.
That, you know, if you worked hard, not only did you have a good job, but you also had decent benefits, decent health care.
They're kidding me off.
And for a lot of folks, we don't have that. We've got to make sure that we're doing everything we can to expand the middle
all
class
right.
and work hard. And people who are working hard can get into the middle class.
I know you think maybe we haven't been fair, but I think your heart is in the right place. Prediction for the game. Who's going to win the Super Bowl?
I can't make a prediction. I don't know. These guys are too evenly matched. I think it is going to be 24-21, but I don't
know
who's going to be 24, and I don't know who's going to be 21.
Mr. President, thanks very much.
I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Kurt, back to you.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. And I just want y'all to know, woo, that's a pretty good one. What?
I don't know how you deny what you said in a speech.
I mean, he said that he was going to fundamentally change America. That was his whole mantra.
What did he say?
Five days from now, we are going to fundamentally transform the United States of America.
Hey, forget. What'd you say, Matt?
I didn't say anything, but that is funny that he denied saying that he was going to fundamentally transform America when that was so hit so hard. I mean, he was saying that through his entire campaign. I don't get that's a lie. That's a lie. That's another lie.
Yeah. He didn't say in 5 days we're going to bring back America to the way it was, like Bill and O'Reilly grew up and I, with opportunity and scholarships and good schools. He didn't say we're bringing it back and putting it the way it was. He said we're fundamentally changing it. Instead of we're getting back to the fundamentals, we're going to fundamentally change it. He did say those words.
But this is my – and I just said dental injustice. I believe that it is his fact by his own mind.
I do not believe that one bit. He lied because he had to, because O'Reilly put him straight on the spot in front of all the people that he had to do. He specifically said that.
From fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
Whoops, there it is. What
this
does
is
that
why
mean?
He needs an Olivia Pope. Because he botched that entire interview.
He didn't botch anything.
Can I ask you this?
Did he botch
it? Did he botch it or
did he
From my perspective as a fellow Democrat, those answers could be handled in a totally different manner.
I'm not talking to you from a Democrat's viewpoint. Do you think he's lying, or do you think that?
No, I can't say he's lying, but I'm like, how can you forget some of the stuff you previously said?
Hold on. This is my question, Diva. He needs Olivia Pope to go and spin the misinformation that he gave out based upon the information that he gave out before so that you can actually believe that what you heard before?
He needs an Olivia Pope so that when you have people who bring questions to try to trip you up and you tend to forget something that you said maybe 5 years ago, 5-6 years ago, 3 years ago,
you don't know how to answer that properly
without coming off as a liar,
Think that he forgot? You think that he forgot what he said?
Tracy, can I talk?
Yes, please.
Yeah,
how you doing, sweetie?
He probably forgot some of the stuff you said.
This opened up a lot of concerns for me. Number one, there are White House briefings daily, and you have to focus on the key issues of the day. And whether his staff or aides bring up issues or not, the president should ask, where do we stand on this? The uppermost concern now is terrorism. And if, you know, you would just think that that would be a question that the president would ask. Where do we stand in so far as security? And that he would probe. He would want to know. So I hold him responsible as, you know, it's not just, think of a doctor in the hospital who has patients. He relies on what nurses tell him about how the patient is doing, but he asks questions. And I think the president has a responsibility to draw out his aides about what is happening around the world, what is happening in the country. So he has responsibility. And I think as I listen to this, the cadence in his voice was so different from when he delivers the speech, that at first I had to listen carefully. I thought, is that the president? So it lets you know that, you know, that when he delivers a message to the people, it was different than this. I think that he was out of his element with this interview, and he didn't have that. He didn't have command of it like he does.
Command?
Scripted.
I think that he is. He has issues, and I think the issues are far beyond that which meets the eye.
Well, I'd like to
Jeff calls him. He lies. But I'm looking at this morning. As I watched the news this morning, no one. And you would think, well, if he came out and said that I never said that I was going to fundamentally change America,
right?
The whole conversation in America in the news source should be President doesn't realize that he said this is what he's going to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, even I was going to say you would hope that Bill O'Reilly's staff would have had a real quick clip and could say, President, you know, here you are.
But
how do you reconcile?
If Sticks can pull it up just that fast
that's
and just have a bad audio, I'm saying with them with all their staff, Jeff's saying he's straight out lying, and I'm saying
absolutely
he's being channeled.
I think there's a fear in confronting him. And this idea, you know, I mean, God bless your, you know, callers. I mean, no disrespect, but Bush is now a non-issue. It's the current president shaping America, and presidents have made mistakes, and we could go back through each one of them and show their failings. But it's doing us no good to keep going back and talk about what President Bush did or didn't do. We're living now under the presidency
that.
Of Barack Obama, and what he does affects all of us. And I think before you jump on the bandwagon, you better know where it's heading.
But I don't think they understand that they're on a merry-go-round. I mean, you said before you jump on the bandwagon, you need to know, you know, where it's
where
headed.
It's going, yeah.
I don't think they understand that the bandwagon is actually a merry-go-round, and they're jumping on it, and they're not going anywhere.
Right.
And the president, there is a. I got to get this movie for Jeff. There's a movie called Left Behind. I might as well just put it out there.
I saw the movie.
And it's a book. There's a whole series of Left Behind. And if you go to the first two, and you read them, it gives you it gives you an insight of you see what you see, but if you don't have your eyes wide open, mm-hmm. you'll see what others want you to see, and you'll think mm-hmm. that you are saying something and you're actually saying what they want you to say. And we don't talk about that kind of stuff often, but I think that we need to really understand that there is a move going on right here, because if you look at what's happening in our country and in across the world, there's a lot of things that you see with your eyes, and then they come back and tell you, oh, no, you didn't see that.
Well, I just read an article about Vladimir Putin wanting to reestablish some form of a Soviet bloc. It will be called the RCU. I think it's the Russian Consolidated Union. And part of the problem in the Ukraine, the big problem with this rioting, is that the people wanted to go toward a more free society with the European Union, and their leaders were elected with the promise of taking them there. And what has happened is Vladimir Putin has promised those leaders financial incentives, and they are going to align with him, and the people don't want that. They don't want to go back into the Soviet bloc, if you will. But it's called the RCU, and he's trying to develop that with Kazakhstan, the Ukraine. I'm trying to think of a couple other. But it will be a dictatorship, and the people don't want that. And this is, you know, you won't get this kind of news on our networks.
But you don't get
you have to watch foreign news, and you have to read articles to find out these things.
But you don't get the information, period, anywhere from anything. If you look at what, I mean, seriously, look at what happened on yesterday. Right now, they're still talking about Christie and a bridge, but they won't talk about the White House. I don't understand how you're not talking about national things, but you're talking about localized things because he thought he might want to run for 2016 presidency. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're not getting any information. And
well,
no one's calling anything out.
I heard a report about our nuclear command officers are being dismissed by the droves. 92
Absolutely.
Officers were dismissed. These are the men who were trained with the missile launch codes.
Yes.
And they are, you know, our eyes in the sky. And, I mean, these are the critical people. And last week, 92 of those officers were dismissed. And a few months ago, a commander was dismissed. Under the guise that he had been drinking while he was on leave in Moscow, and they thought that his conduct was unbecoming of an officer. So President Obama is releasing these men from service. You figure, who's he going to put in their place?
Don't know. And so that's what I'm saying.
We don't know.
There's
and
so
we're
much
going to be vulnerable on all fronts.
There's
and
so much going on.
And that's it. The people who are calling your show should be wanting to know these things, and we should really be analyzing them instead of these petty back and forth, you know,
but you,
for tat about you complain about this president and I'll complain about that president. That's getting us nowhere. I think we should all join together and do research and try to find out what is happening in this country. You figure we focused on things in this country that really were not necessary for this. The whole gay rights thing, those people had like liberty and the pursuit of their happiness. They didn't have to have a legalization of their unions at this time when there's other critical things happening. We didn't
it
have
is,
to do
it
the
is,
healthcare
it is,
thing.
No, but see, it is for their agenda. Because you're dealing with two fronts here. It is for their agenda.
I know, but couldn't they have pursued that?
No. No,
Deanna,
it's all a part of the same agenda. It's all a part of the same the same going forward. It's all a part of utilizing a controlled one world order. You think how I think, you do what I do, you live how I live.
The teaching of evolution, the teaching of you know that the other things like homosexuality is fine, the liberalism that is happening is all one spirit, one move. All of the government control is all one spirit, one move. It's all to make you not believe and trust in a God, and for you to trust in a government. And I'm, here goes where somebody like me would look far out. People think that the devil is a fictional character.
No, Jeff, he is. He's red with a pitchfork and
horns. He's not a pitchfork and form. He is mindsets. He says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness and powers and principalities in high places. Yeah. See, you're dealing with a spirit that wants to destroy the whole thought of a God. And when you do that, you throw your morality out because you don't have any morality then. It's going to be fine, and it won't be 6 years before you'll see that these people will say it's fine to screw kids. Because they don't suffer from it.
Oh, here we go, Jeff. Exaggerating,
you watch it, Stanley. No, Stanley,
exaggerating
listen,
on things that...
Listen, Stanley.
Come on, man.
You do one thing I say. You mark my words. You mark this
okay.
day down and say that Jeff said within 6 years that
okay.
they're gonna almost legalize screwing kids.
Okay.
You watch
it.
Indonesia already is doing it and they're trafficking in it. Why do you think
that's
a big thing when the tsunami hit over there?
And Jeff, in 6 years, when I call you and it's not true, are you going to be live saying to me that I was right,
I will tell you that
was not true?
Stanley, I apologize. I'll tell you, I apologize, Stanley.
I will say this.
You're a witness, Tracy.
Stanley?
Yeah? 6 years. In 6 years,
Stanley, listen,
I will call
you
for that.
Listen. Now, listen, when you call, don't say Tracy said it because Tracy didn't say it.
No, I don't want to say Jeff. Jeff.
Okay.
I'm
going to tell you guys. I'm not going to put a time on when it will happen. But I will put a time on all sexual immorality will be fair game.
I disagree. That will never happen.
Hold on, Stanley. Would you say, Nina?
Is Jeff going to predict the future?
In 5 years.
Can't even tell you what happened in the past. Accurate.
We never would have dreamed.
We didn't even know what happened in the past.
Now, so who knows what will happen in the next 3 years?
Exactly.
Without his administration.
This is where Jeff and I. President Obama is a forerunner. You heard Henry Kissinger.
Mm-hmm.
He said it from the New York Stock Exchange floor that this guy is good for bringing about a new world order.
The new world order.
Yes.
That's what he said.
The
new world order. So you have to understand this man is President Obama is doing that. He doesn't, and I really say when I say this, you know, when you heard the cliche when Geraldine, who was what was that guy's name?
Flip Wilson.
You said the devil made me do it.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
I believe President Obama is in that whirlwind. I don't even think he has total. And the reason why I said it because there's too many inconsistencies coming out, and no one actually jumping on any of the inconsistencies.
He's just
because every time David, let me finish. Because every time he says something that's inconsistent, he gets a pass on all of it, and so the people that are in the room, it's almost like they hear it and they don't and they move on, and I don't care where it is, whether it be with healthcare, whether it be with anything, even into the point where you have preachers defending his stand on same-sex marriage.
Oh, God. I'd like
I
to
would
see
have
that
to
one.
Say that his administration is a catalyst to what we are seeing, what we see playing out in Revelations, what we know is to come, the New World Order. I can see that as clear as day, even though I support him and I'm a Democrat. I can say his administration is a catalyst for that. But can I sit here and say that that's something that he is trying to bring about? No, I can't say that. But I can say that whether it's going to be on the left or the right, there are things that are going to happen on both sides that is going to bring that to fruition. There's
but
nothing
can I ask
we can
you a
do.
Question, Diva? Why do you continue to support it? Private caller, your mic is on.
Yeah, that would be my question.
I just wanted to say that I think we need to be getting away from Democrat and Republican if we want to do something in the country. Neither one of them. I think that what he's doing is bad, and I think the Republicans is letting him do it. I think they're all in it together.
I'm half agreement.
As long as we keep on fighting each other, talking about Democrat and Republican and all that stuff, they're going to keep doing what they're doing because we still fight each other over dumb stuff when we could be getting together doing something about what's going on. But we're still fighting over a title, over a name that don't mean nothing to him or us. Because it definitely don't mean anything to them. Just because they put an R behind their name or a D behind their name, they're going to have people supporting them from each side instead of arguing with each other while they're still going along business as usual, doing what they're doing.
10 years ago, it was unheard of that you would be having homosexual marriage in America.
Heck, you had it on TV last week. Why
I said last week, 10 years ago.
Disney
you did.
Channel. Disney
okay.
Channel's going
to. 10 years ago.
To mom.
Yep.
10 years ago, you had them saying, you know, that I'm just like everybody else, and God made me this way. See, that's what you had. And now you don't have no more God made me this way. It's just natural that this is the way it is. What I'm trying to tell you is all these things are hand in hand. Homosexuality is hand in hand with teaching evolution. Why? Because it teaches that there was no moral standard. All of this was just homosexual animals, they'll tell you. What I'm telling you is that there's something wrong. I give it 6 years.
That's what I'm saying to you, Jeff. You're saying something's wrong. You're right. And I'm saying that all of us, and let me take my break, but not all of us, but there are many, many people who have been blinded.
Absolutely.
And in their lack of seeing, they are walking in it. They're walking in something that they don't have control of the walk that they're in. I'll be right back.
Unique, individualized, and promoting.
Ready, go. All right, well, who do we have in here?
I would have to say, I think his name is Reggie. If I'm not correct, I'm sorry.
But
that is something I have been, okay, I've been screaming that to myself. And you know what's so crazy that made me come to that realization? Calling and listening into this show and hearing us arguing about the most mundane things. The littlest insignificant things. We're bickering back and forth with each other, but yet they are all up on Capitol Hill. They're in cahoots with each other. They're making deals with each other. Oh, but don't let my constituents or don't let such and such know, you know, because I don't want them to know that I'm on your side. Can you imagine?
Right.
Can you imagine if everyone knew what exactly was going up on Capitol Hill? And if you want to get into the biblical times, and you want to get into the book of Revelation, I'm sorry, what is to come will come. There is nothing you can do to stop it. The book of Revelation is not there to teach us how to stop it. It's to show us the light of day so that we can see what is coming. And not so that we can get mad at each other and argue with each other. The whole purpose of that prophetic word is so that we can get right with God. That's the biggest point of the Jesus testimony, his works on earth. It's so that we all can get right with God, come to one standing, and build a spiritual foundational relationship with him. It has nothing to do with Democrat, Republican, homosexual. Because I'm sorry, but I'm trying to figure out why Republicans only have two issues, same-sex marriage and abortion. There's a lot more evil and sin going around than just homosexual marriage and abortion, and it kind of made it into a self-fulfilling prophecy because you tried to stop something so hard and defend something that need no defending. The word of God will stand. You already said it. This world will pass away, but my word will stand forever. So no matter what the world may try to define marriage as, we as Christians know what they doing, that's not marriage. No matter what the world says about the Ten Commandments, we know the truth. So we're trying to defend something that needs no defending to us. We're trying to defend it to non-believers. That makes no sense to me because they're not going to believe anything anyway.
The preachers are supposed to be believers, and they're out there right in front of them. They're spearheads.
But if you read your word, you will know that everyone who calls themselves a pastor, whoever has not necessarily been called to that office. They placed themselves in there. And the way that you could tell that they placed themselves in there and they weren't placed there by the Spirit of God is because they go against the very word that they're calling themselves preaching.
Yeah, but
so you can't
look. Very few people really go home and read the Bible after they leave church and then look to see if what the pastor is saying is true. Very few. I'm talking about black and white. Nobody goes home and reads the Bible when they get out of church to see if what he was saying is correct. And then when they read it and they see he's correct, they don't have that he's incorrect. They don't have no avenue when they go to church to confront some pastor and let him know that what he's teaching not, is not the truth. And even if they do it, he's not going to say, he's not going to even say that you're right.
Then you move to another church.
But
you move
like
to
that.
Another church. You find you another covering.
I agree with you. I'm just saying that's how it is, though. I've yet to see where you can, because I've been to some services. I go to church, and you hear the pastor, the stuff he's saying is not biblical. When you try to explain, they try to say something to them, they look at you as you're beneath them. You can't tell them that they're not right. And that's how most of them are. They feel like they've been called to that. They've been called. They go to these seminaries and they get taught what they get taught there. So there's nothing to do as if you're not been, if you haven't been to a seminary, there's nothing you can teach them. And that's the attitude they have. And then they're the ones, I believe when the pastors talk about the ones at these churches where the 501c, and they're taking our money from the government, and they don't want that, so they can't say anything, because if they do say anything, they're going to take that money away from them, and they don't want the money taken away from them. They like to have the money not being taxable. That's more important than teaching the truth.
I don't know about you, but I sit up under a different type of pastor who has no problem putting it out there that the government is not your source. Your source comes from above. So I can't say all of them because I'm new to this walk, so I've only been a part of two churches, and they both were, to me, as far as I know, honest in the word.
Yeah.
So, but when I see shows like Preachers of L.A. and I see Diedrich Hayden doing and acting the way he acts, when I see the story Preacher's Wives and I see those people, and I'm like, but what gets me upset is when people, as believers, not non-believers, I'm talking about believers who walk in the Word, or at least try to walk in the Word, who follow the Word and have a true relationship with Christ, we sit up here and we acknowledge someone like that as a pastor, as a prophet, as
yeah,
an evangelist,
I think the word you're
as
looking
a teacher,
for
when
is
we
exploit.
Know the difference.
The word you're looking for is exploit. When they exploit what they do, I can't stand the reality shows either. I think it's a nightmarish situation. I'm not a big fan of the big churches that you see on Sunday. They exploit the word too much.
I don't think most people that you meet on an everyday basis is the ones who listen to this stuff on TV. Most of the people that you talk to are the ones who go to church and they hear from the pastors from the congregation, the church they go to. Here in Youngstown, I mean, if you go up and down the street, I mean, you got 10 churches on. But you can't get 10 ministers in Youngstown to come together to do nothing.
For my biggest problem is when you have like this political arena. Sometimes it's hard for me to step out of the natural realm and step into the spiritual realm and really see what God is doing and focus on what God is doing and not worry about anything else. As believers, that's what we have been called to do. That's what we need to do, is focus more on what God is doing, because, yes, all these things are happening. All these things are coming to pass. When people ask me, why don't you get upset, why don't you get scared, or why do you support this, or why do you support that, because I'm not focused on them. I'm focused on what God is doing. And I can see the bigger picture.
Good
and that's what we need to
friends
start
here focusing. On WSOM. I wanted to make sure everybody had the highlights from yesterday's Super Bowl, and I hear the highlight of the whole Super Bowl was the halftime show. Everything else was a snooze, and so I hope you had good company yesterday, because if you didn't, you were really bored out of your mind unless you had a remote control.
I was at Ben's house. I had a ball.
And so I have a question. And Ben, wait a minute. Ben had a Super Bowl party, but he couldn't make it in here to say hi to his mom.
Yeah, he got issues because,
How's his mom doing?
His mom's doing fine. She's I think she's going to be released the other day at 4, I remember.
Good.
So we send
he
our...
He can party, but he can't come and hang out with us.
Hey, man, Ben got a nice little house, too. He got that thing tight.
Does he really?
Oh, man, he got a room for me. When Cheryl kicks me out, I got somewhere to go.
No.
Yeah.
No.
You should see. You got to go see it. Ben, call in, man. Tell her.
Ben, wait a minute. How he got a room for you?
He got a room for me. No. You ain't got nobody to kick you out. I got you on that one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
That's how that goes.
I don't know, Jeff.
Yeah.
I might want to have a vacation and go out to the suburbs.
He did some nice work in there.
He was really working on it. A lot of it he did himself too, didn't he?
Yeah. He can paint. He can paint. He can. My goodness, he lay tall. You're going to want to move him out, I'm telling you, Trace.
I got to pack him up. Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. Alex Beverly, how are you, darling? Where have you been? And don't tell me working. And if you have, where's my check?
Yeah. Come on, boy.
Alex, I thought you're hanging out with Alabama. You got to meet him.
Uh-huh.
You know, y'all kicking it back. What? Y'all won't even send me a little checky check. We even having a baby and y'all won't send me a check.
If I'm having a baby, I ain't got no extra money to be sending nobody, you know.
Especially since Obamacare.
One more question. You ain't got no money to send me a check?
I'm having a baby, so, you know, that babies are expensive.
No, they're not. Don't worry about it. You got affordable health care. Don't worry about it. You got tax write-offs. You got earned income credit. Don't even sweat it. Don't sweat it, my pet.
It's all free, Alex.
People who, you know, working people like me they don't get those. I actually pay my taxes. I don't get refunds. You know, so you know, sorry, I got a whole order on my money that I get. You know,
it's still expensive. That's why I'm not having
more. Is it a boy or a girl?
We don't know yet. We're hoping it's a girl, but I don't want to jinx it, you know.
Okay, let's get this straight. Let's get the important stuff out the way.
Mm-hmm.
Has she got morning sickness?
Oh, yeah. Well, she's past that, but now she had morning sickness real bad, but now it's she feels the stretching, so she's getting all the cramps from her body stretching and stuff. So now it's if it's not one thing,
boy.
It's enough, you know.
But listen, let's get this name thing down.
Uh huh.
If it's a girl, we're gonna name her Tracy, right?
Tracy isn't an African name, so probably not.
Okay. If it's a boy, we're gonna name him Tracy, right?
You know, my two boys have African names, so that would, you know, they would feel left out.
That's enough Africa for one house. You can name one of them Tracy.
if you translate it into some African language and I think about it.
Okay, the name is going to be, think about it, Tracy Beverly. That's a good name because, see, you can get a job with that.
Tracy Beverly, Frankie Beverly's little brother.
Well, you know, all my kids will have, they all have both English and African names. What they put on those job applications, it's going to be, you know, if they have to, they could put in that, you know, the English name.
Okay. So now let's get this straight. Okay, we're going to name him an African named Tracy.
Uh-huh.
There's no such thing. Because
Tracy has, I got to have a namesake somewhere.
Well, because I could tell you, like, my one of my sons, like, you know, my name's Alex, and he's named after me. So his birth certificate says Alex Agassi James, because my name is Alex James. So his name is Agassi Rekoya, which is, it's if you translate Alex and James, it's Agassi is Ethiopian for Alex, and Rekoya is Yoruba for James. So we can probably find something for Tracy.
Because we gotta find something for Tracy. Because you know I'm not having no kids. So y'all can find me.
You better go adopt some.
No, I'm smarter than a fifth grader.
Go to Russia and adopt.
Russia don't
Madonna.
Want.
Listen, Africa might be easier.
I'm not going to Africa. Kids are kids in every country.
And I can't Google see in an African language at all.
Mm. Well, they most of them speak English anyway, so you'll be all right.
I can't find like your translation of Tracy in Swahili or any other African language.
Swahili's not really African, is it?
Yeah, it's real. It's really African.
It's the first Pan-African language, which is why it's people think it's so important because it was the first language that we know of that Africans actually came together to form as a response to, you know, trade and for the particularly the oppression of the Arab slave trade and things like that. There was one of the first organizations, Pan-African organizations that we know of, in response to you know, white supremacy, oppression, racism, and all that stuff. So it's an important language. I mean, even, you know, it may not be widely used, but it has a very significant historical context, you know, historical significance. So, you know, my other son's name is Swahili, which is why, you know, we use that. It's very important. We need to teach that. That's one of those things that should be taught to our children, why Swahili is important.
Well, I mean, I don't think it's being used anymore.
Well, you know, no, the African Union, actually, the AU, they've formally endorsed it as their formal language of trade in Africa. So it is used, and it's still the most widely used language of all African languages. It's the most widely used one of all
African nations.
Because does it base in Swahili with different dialects and go from that? Is there a lot of the foundation of Swahili and then the different dialects? Because they tell me when you go over to Ghana, you need multiple translators.
Yeah, they don't speak Swahili.
You don't know what dialect you're going to get.
Yeah, they don't speak Swahili in Ghana. I mean, Swahili is mostly spoken spoken across several countries in Central, South, Southern, and East Africa. So along Ethiopia, Tanzania, you know, Congo, South Africa, Namibia, Zimbabwe, you know. But in West Africa, it's not really used. They don't use Swahili there, though.
Oh, okay. There's your Black History Moment. This is February the 2nd, 2014.
Yes, it is.
and I've decided that we're not going to celebrate Black History Month. We're going to celebrate American history on Tracy and Friends. So we're going to tell the truth
Tracy.
On everybody.
I don't like Black History anyway. It's,
I don't either.
That's a good decision. I agree with that. And I know before somebody jumps on me for saying that, I believe that if we teach history in an objective and honest context, then we won't have to segregate history into Hispanic history or Black history or white history. We just teach history, and it'll automatically be inclusive of everyone.
When's the last time that happened in America?
I don't know, but
Tracy
is going to do it. What
did
you say, Stanley?
Alex, the problem with what you're saying, I wish, if we teach history, the honesty, like you're saying, and everything, but when I watched it, there's two movies I watched 2 weeks, Hidden Colors 1 and Hidden Colors 2. I'm sorry. There's many things in those two movies I didn't even know as a Black man. And I'm sorry to say, if I would have known that as a Black man, a lot of stuff would have changed, would have made Black people a lot prouder.
Stanley, didn't I say we were going to do American history?
Yes,
which means that's what I'm saying. But we're going to tell history the way it should be taught. And I'm with Alex. If we teach history the way it should be taught, then we don't have to segregate history.
How are we going to do that,
Tracy?
How are we going to do that, Tracy, when different history are saying this different thing? One history says it was brought up that way, and another history is saying it's different.
Because the truth is the truth, and no matter how you like it, when you look at history and it is what it is, you can't change it. You might not like it, and you can hide it, but that doesn't mean it's not what it is.
You know what, let me answer his question a little bit more detailed by saying just because, you know, you're being taught quote-unquote Black history doesn't mean you're getting the truth either just because it's Black history.
I know,
history.
And that's what I'm saying. I just want to know the truth, like you say.
Well,
but if I come with a perfect thing, like perfect example, is Jesus Black or white? White people would have problem if you say Jesus is a Black man. Trust me, no.
Can I tell you, Stanley,
Jesus was Jewish.
Listen, nothing.
Jesus was absolutely.
No Eastern
descent. Stanley, listen, y'all. did nothing come out of the Middle East white.
Right.
With blonde hair and blue eyes.
Exactly. So.
Nothing.
But that's what we saw in every church.
No, that's that's what Michelangelo, that's because that's the painting that
did
Michelangelo
call
did.
He called him Michelangelo.
That's who he is.
I thought it was Michelangelo.
Same thing.
Potato, potato.
He said Michelangelo.
No. Michelangelo.
Did you hear a crick? Yeah.
His last name was not Angelo.
Oh, sorry.
If you listen to the Italians, they call him Michelangelo.
Michelangelo.
But anyways, the problem with history is the same people that enslaved black people are also the same people that fought a civil war to free them.
And
we need to teach both sides, the good and the bad, honestly.
Well, we need to tell black folks that white folks have been enslaved too.
Right.
And we need to teach black folks and not all white people are Anglo-Saxons.
Right.
The first slave.
The Iranians are Caucasian.
And that was a huge problem because don't forget Hitler is the one that named the country.
Okay.
And he named it after his belief, Aryan.
Stop it. Please, just stop it.
You want to put money on that, sir?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, put $20 on it. Who's that?
Who is that?
That's Alex.
Let's put $50 on it. You know why?
Alex,
because
are you on a headset?
No. I'm Skyping in. Yet you can't hear me?
Oh, no.
Yeah,
you're in
different.
The background. But wait a minute. Hold on. What?
I wish I had my computer.
What are you saying
me.
That's not true? Because we missed
that
part.
That Hitler was the one that named Iran, because it means Aryan. Because they have the Caucasus Mountains in their country.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Can I rebut that now, please?
Yeah, go ahead.
Do a little bit of research, but like
I did my research. Just say what you want to say. Don't go through all this mess.
I'm telling you, do a little bit of research into the history of the Persian people, particularly, the Iranian people or the Persian people have called their land Ehran, at least going back to the Sasanian Empire, which was about the end of the Roman period, about 200.
And what was it called during Hitler's time?
The people have called.
I asked you a question, sir.
The people have called their land Ehran since 200 or 300 A.D. Let me finish my statement. At the time of Hitler, the land was broke. It used to be part of the Ottoman Empire. It was broken up by the British. It was a British protectorate, and the name of the land was given to it by the British, but the people have always called it Ehran since at least 380. The people have always called it Ehran since about 300 AD. The Sasanian Empire, if you look up the Sasanian Empire, they've always called it that, Ehran. But the name was, the whole Middle East was carved up by the British because it was all British protectorate, and they were trying to figure out what to do with it after the breakup of the Ottoman Empire. All those names are pretty much colonial names given to it by the European colonial masters. So to say that Hitler named it, Ehran was a name, an ancestral name of the Iranian people for centuries before Hitler and Germany was even a thought.
And you see, that is the problem. You see, when you go with history, he's coming with a thing like that I didn't even know.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing about it. You are right. See, you, there's one part that you're right about. That it
Alex,
means,
Alex,
that it
I think we're on break, so I don't think you're...
No, we're not.
No, you're not.
Oh,
actually,
okay.
People are just listening. They're actually just listening and not talking over each other. Isn't that important? Wow. Go ahead. Good. Continue, Alex.
Hard to argue against Alex.
There's one thing that you're right about, that it does mean Aryan, because if you look,
sure it does.
But you have to look at the whole history of Middle Asia to understand that. You know, the Aryan invasion into from the Caucasus Mountains into Indus Kush. I mean, that would take a whole hour to explain because that's part of the history of Asia, which is, you know, how the Semitic languages and religions formed was from that Aryan invasion into those lands, which were originally inhabited
now,
by black.
Here's what I'm going to tell you, because first of all, the Aryan and the Caucasus Mountains, they were named because of something that happened during the time of the angels coming down to earth years ago. Okay, and so therefore I agree with you that they were calling that Aryan because there was a group of those offspring angels, Aryans. But they were called Persia at the time, and because they fell in love with Hitler at the time, they changed their name to Aryan again, and for him.
Who
it
called
was for
them
his
Persia?
Sake, and that's why they did it. So
who
my
called
point
them
is,
Persia? Who? They never named themselves the British. It was a British. It was a British territory.
Okay, that's fine.
And the British called them Persians. They never called themselves Persians. They always called themselves
Iranians. If they got took over by them, we don't call this Indian land here in America, now do we? And the Indians did not call themselves Americans. So now you tell me what the name of this place is and who named it.
Please look at.
I mean, I don't know. I was just reading Genesis the other day, and it was talking about Persians. So I'm confused. Daniel, Persians, and that was written like 5,000 years ago. So
Babylon.
I'm really
Persia.
Confused.
I got confused too. But as I said, welcome to Tracy and friends. We just got to a confused point. Oh. I said I want to do history. I don't like black history, because if Americans actually told the real history of America, then you don't have to segregate history out.
True,
for anyone.
True, because they did not include black people in it.
And coming out of an Anglo-Saxon Caucasian school, they did not, as a 49-year-old person, they did not teach us true history. So you walk through school and you've learned about American history, but you weren't written into it. And so on Tracy and Friends, we are going to actually be teaching history, including everyone in it.
I mean, they ignore it. Do you know that Bunker Hill, the Battle of Bunker Hill was fought by a militia made up of both black men and white men.
But what I'm saying is, but do yep. you, but,
or not Bunker Hill, excuse but, me, Lexington Concord.
But do you understand that when we went to war in World War II, that we fought wars and we still didn't get credit for the wars that we fought?
I know.
And so what I'm saying is, we need to start telling the history because there are more great African Americans and black people in America than Martin Luther King George Washington Carver and the real McCoy. And so we are going to dig into deep. I promise you, and if they do this, I will just knock Jeff and Alex out. We will not go so deep back that people really could get lost, because that's when you get to certain areas and they're just going off somewhere. But there's some stuff that comes close to home in more modern history that you also need to know. And when we talk about race, we talk about the Ku Klux Klan.
Right.
When we talk about politics, when we talk about how things came into where they are now, we're going to go back into the president and their administration and pull up some stuff. We're going to find out how things became and the difference between slavery and Jim Crow.
I agree. Alex sounds more intelligent than I do. It's not because he is, but he sounds.
let's just look at it.
I'll pick it with you, Alex.
Let's just look at it. Almost fell out. Just look at myths. You know that there's a reason there are black guys in the picture of Washington taking the boat across the Delaware River, and they were not slaves.
But there's also, you know, you said something earlier, and you know, we talked about England and how people talk. You talk
why?
Because of where your origin is.
Right.
If your origin is out of the South and you come North, and in your own community, you may have a different dialect. Dialect is different than English. And
right.
grammar. And if you are taught in school, you know, Ebonics is a slang. But it's a slang that has come about because of, you know, the lack of correction.
Right.
And so if you go into a school and all you have is white teachers and you do not correct my English.
Right, because you talk like that too.
And your English is just as bad as mine.
If I'm not mistaken, Ebonics came out because of the lack of proper, and correction, is spelling. Because when you say a couple of words together, it's not like it's one word, and people are spelling stuff any kind of way, and there was no correction. Like,
no, I mean, it's the difference between, it's about correction.
If
you say specific and Pacific, and no one corrects you, or if you say breakfast and breakfast,
but,
or if you say breakfast,
that's not Ebonics, though.
What is it?
Ebonics is taking a group of words and making it to one word, like who done it? Who done
okay.
it? In Ebonics, it's one word.
Let me tell you like this. It comes from because, first of all, we are Africans, and we come to this country. We could not speak a certain dialect because our languages did not allow us to do TH sounds, did not allow us to do K sounds, et cetera, because we didn't have them in our alphabets. You have to understand that this is hereditary in a lot of sense, and so therefore black people have now learned to speak two languages. They can speak broken.
It's also about because we were hearing, we couldn't spell it correctly.
I only have 3 minutes. As I was stating, a lot of it comes from not from your history, but from lack of correction. Just that simple. We need to be honest. We go into European schools and they were lax in their teaching and they did not correct.
How did I get corrected then is what I'm saying. I was in European.
Because at home,
yeah, but
you had a mother that made sure.
I was corrected in school.
But my neighborhood, the guys I went to school with, they didn't have a mother that did the things that mine did.
But what I'm saying.
But they still speak better English.
Culturally. When you say the difference between, and we'll have a list of words.
Mm-hmm.
Pacific.
Yeah.
Is lack of correction.
It's also an ocean.
Absolutely, but it is not when I say it is specific that you did this.
Mm-hmm.
That is lack of correction, not lack of, you know, being able to say it. Because
I disagree.
Because in school they did not.
We will discuss this one, and I'll bring my.
Go ahead, you bring yours. Listen, we'll be back on tomorrow. Jeff and I will be on a bus, and we're going to try something different and something new. I hope it works. Jeff and I are going to be doing our show on the road as we travel to D.C., and Gary Ramey is going to be in, and Styx is going to be here in the studio. They're going to be engineering and
the greatest engineer in the world.
Absolutely, and making sure that we get things right. And I'm looking forward to doing this on tomorrow. Make sure Alabama knows that the guest will not be on until the following week, so it won't be the first Tuesday, but he'll be back on. But we're working that out. I've got to go look at my calendar. But we're looking for great things on tomorrow. It's Black History Month, so we're going to tomorrow we're going to probably talk about African-American Republicans.
Yep.
You think so?
Conservative black.
There aren't any. It's a myth. It's like a unicorn.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
black
Republican, five.
That's like a unicorn.
I got a question.
I got five.
And I only got 2 minutes, Jeff. And so can you give me a short answer? Because
mm-hmm.
you know everything.
Yeah.
Unicorn is in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
What is a unicorn?
Unicorn is a unicorn.
It's only mentioned
it's
one.
A horse-like creature with a horn coming out of it, one horn coming out of its head.
I've never seen a unicorn. Have you?
No.
So where's the unicorn? I got
to
go.
Play the song.
I've seen unicorns before.
Maybe evolution. There's a lot of creatures that looked one way eons ago that just you no longer see them anymore, but you see a replica of what they are now.
Well, the Bible says there's unicorns, so so maybe there are. Maybe somebody saw them at some point.
You gotta give me that scripture because I must have skipped that one. I didn't know.
I'll get it for you next time because I had to read it twice when I saw it. I'll give it to you next time.
Man, I was like, man, I gotta. Oh gosh, I need that. I gotta read that one.
Yeah, there's a lot of but like you said, I mean, species die every day. Hundreds of species die every day. So who's to say it didn't exist at one time and they actually did see a unicorn? You know, but back in the day, same thing with dragons, and because it's just kind of coincidental for it to be across several cultures, people talking about dragons, and for them to not exist. So I mean,
right, when the world was very separated between nations and they weren't aware of the other nations, they were still talking about dragons or UFOs is another thing. You know, like a Sasquatch or Bigfoot type creature. See, this is the stuff I get into too. I'm a freak when it comes to that. But
the only thing that
I
do disagree with is probably the actual depictions, like drawings of these creatures, may be a little fabricated. But never
mind. Yeah, I mean they're probably artistic, but. It's crazy because you have things, you know, obviously you have Asian culture, East Asian culture, talking about dragons. You had, if you go to Native Americans, like in the Southwest, they talked about dragon-like creatures, metallic birds and, it just all kinds of things that, you know, seem like fantasy.
Well, you know,
Alex,
a lot of
if you don't mind me asking, how old are you?
Who? Me?
You.
You talking to me, Alex?
Yes.
I just turned 33 in November.
You're only 33?
Yeah.
I don't like the way you answered that.
You sound a lot older than that.
No, the only reason why I asked that is because you have I'm wondering like where you get all your information from. You have a lot of wisdom, a lot of insight.
Turn the TV
and
up.
I would not have thought you were younger than me. So I guess I'm not the youngest person that calls in now.
You're older.
Yay.
Than me?
Yes.
Oh wow. Yeah. Turn off the TV and just try to get the objective information and just think about it for yourself. I mean, you know.
Hello? Can you hear me?
I don't even watch TV anymore, to be honest with you. I'm just so disheartened about us being so divided. This country is just so divided. So I was just like, you know what? And I have to agree that all the talk about Bush has to end because I'm going to say it. I mean, you can't. It's 5 years into Obama's administration. Every time somebody disagrees with Obama or says something about Obama, you can't bring up Bush anymore.
Can you hear me?
Don't just
yes?
Say. Oh, I was just making sure I was on. Go ahead.
Is that you, Eric?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So,
well, people just that Bush just messed things up so bad that it's going to take – I've already heard them saying it, that – Bush makes things up so bad that it's going to take more than one president to fix it, which is why Obama isn't doing it. No, he hasn't done a good job yet.
No, but
what our Congress is so divided because the constituents, the American people, are so divided. Because Congress, regardless of what people think, Congress has the ear of their constituents. So when you have at least, what, four or five different ideologies being represented on the Capitol Hill, so when you have that many different mind or worldviews or opinions and no one is willing to give or it's a hot mess. That's where the mess is at.
But
everybody's
looking
at the White House. The mess is right there.
Hey, Diva. I think what you just said should, in my opinion, if you think about it, bring you over to the more conservative end of the spectrum, or not conservative, I'm sorry, not a mean set, libertarian and constitutionalist end of the spectrum, because what you should realize, what people should realize is that all these powers that the federal government has bestowed upon itself, they're not supposed to have. There's no way that the federal government can solve all these problems because any decision that they make, someone else is not going to like, which is why the country was set up so that people have freedom and decisions are made more on a local level so that, you know, we don't have these sweeping bad decisions. You have more of a free market and you don't have, you know, the federal government is not supposed to have all this power. And that's really the problem, you know.
But, Alex,
when you
the
have,
problem, but,
But Alex, the problem when you're saying that is if we don't have as much government, even though they're not doing a great job, like you're saying, to protect us and things like that, I'm sorry, corporation would basically, if we would take every law to protect us and say, fuck it, we're going to live into the free market, I'm sorry, corporation would take full advantage of us. They wouldn't be, yes, they would. I'm sorry, there are many examples, Alex, of people.
And who's to say the states themselves will protect its citizens? We have seen people come into power in certain states and take advantage of that situation and abuse the people in them states because you had egregious laws or just people doing egregious things to certain people in certain states. We can't assume that every governor, every legislative body in each state is going to be fair.
And Alex, another thing I want you to add, I want you to remember, if we take out the government and everything, there has been many industries that said, oh, we are losing money, and they're not losing money at all, and they're taking all the advantage of taking all the salary, all the money, and basically saying to all the people at the bottom, you're fired. And I'm taking all that money, and I'm keeping that money for myself or for the people in the top, and that's the situation. And without government, they would still be doing that.
Here's the thing.
Yeah, but who decides, Stanley? Who decides who gets to take what?
That's wrong. That should be. You should be put in jail when you do that. When you're lying in front of everybody, the CEO or anybody in the company, saying, "Yeah, we're losing money," but you're not. We're taking all that money. We're going to cut all those people. We're going to keep that money for the top. And that's what's happening to a lot of companies, Alex.
Hey,
I understand that, but who decides?
Let me address this question. But you're assuming something that is patently false.
No, I'm not, Alex. There's many examples.
Let me tell you why. Let me tell you why what you're saying is false. Because the government, just about every big company that you know of, the only reason that they became big is because of the government. Because what the government does, when the government gets involved, it pushes out competition and it picks the winners and the losers.
Right, you're right. You assume the government's not going
to
be correct.
No. That's not necessarily true because we have antitrust laws now because of companies getting too big and taking over in certain areas, in certain marketing areas.
But why did they get too big? Why?
Not because of the government, but because of the greed. I would have to say it was greed.
No, because what they do is this. Big companies love government because what they do is they go to the government and have the government to make regulations, and then the little people think that these regulations are good, but all it does is prevent other companies from competing with them until they're the only guys in the market and they can charge whatever they want. And if you look at every big company, the biggest companies don't think that way is because they use the government for regulation to stamp out competition.
Okay, so I have a question for you guys. We are the ones who go into the booth and elect these people because government is not an entity that it works on its own like a machine. These are the very people that we elect to create these laws. So if you have somebody who says, look, I agree with these laws, these are laws that I think would benefit me, and then you have someone going against that, what do? People have different world views. We have different opinions of how this country should be run. Just because you want it ran a certain way doesn't mean I want it ran a certain way. That
That's
doesn't necessarily make you more
solution.
Right than me.
But here's the
That's
thing.
That's why you can't say government's the solution.
But that's what you're saying is the exact reason why it was set up to be operated on a local level. You feel like it should be operated in a certain way. You have no right to impose that on the entire country. But if you want to impose that on your local level in your city or your county or whatever, or maybe even your state, that's okay. But the rest of the country should be able to observe and see how it works out. And
if the rest of slavery being legalized within individual colonies, a.k.a. states, we had interracial marriage being outlawed in certain states. We had Jim Crow laws in certain states. We had all those things
that
happened that would basically abused a certain group of people. Why would I trust? And it had to be the government, the federal government, that comes out and say, no, you can't treat people a certain way. Why would I trust the states?
That's a great point, and I think that what I say is that the Constitution in this country is not perfect, nowhere near perfect, but we can't just throw out the rule of law. We can't throw out the concept of the rule of law and freedom. Now, I agree that the federal government needs to have some power to enforce the Constitution. I completely agree with you to make sure that minorities' rights are not, you know, abused or infringed. I completely agree with you. But that does not mean that the federal government has control over everything that we do in our lives.
But it seemed like everything that when you look at what individual states are doing, if I'm not mistaken, state laws do not trump the U.S. Constitution. They have to fall within that guideline. So you have a state who is going to deviate from that.
No.
You need the federal government. And most of the things that these states are doing, to me, the most corrupt force that you could ever come across at your local level would be your local politics, your mayor, your city council, and especially your police department. They are the most corrupt because they are so concentrated in a certain area that they feel like, I mean, when you see all these videos, you don't see the federal army doing egregious things to the citizens within this country across the board. You see police officers doing the most heinous things, and they are supposed to be upholding these laws, but yet they're the biggest ones to abuse the laws. So when you have your mayor who allows that corruption, then you have your governor who allows corruption across the state, what do you do? It makes no sense. Me personally, I've always believed in equality for all. I've always believed that since I was a little girl, that even if I didn't even know what the word collectivism was, but I practiced it even as a little girl, that we would do better if we all shared equally in some type of way, even if a person seemed like they didn't deserve it. And
no, I
just feel like
that.
When you have different states making different laws and it's just so unequal and so unbalanced, it's going to cause a problem.
Well, that's because you infringed on that. When you start doing that, Diva, you start infringing on my rights. There's things I'm not saying. You don't have to agree with everything I say or what I do. But don't come in and tell me that it's for the collective to do it a certain way. No, you're not going to come into my house.
The fact of the matter is, when you have certain states who make certain laws, it creates an imbalance. And with life, you cannot have anything in life cannot be unbalanced.
Well,
when you have an unbalance, you have chaos.
It creates an imbalance, you're right,
myself.
Diva, but the good thing about it is we have the ability to go from state to state and hurt those economics in certain states by leaving. Those states will learn their lesson if left to their own devices. That's why
right.
we have states.
I'm sorry, I don't agree with that.
I don't believe that's the case.
You come back to one of the persons who said it's not. You're taking off my rights. So, in your state, I should say to every firefighter, policeman, don't do anything because you're taking
what?
Off their rights. A firefighter and a policeman should not protect you because you are saying that it's somebody else that say, hey, you're taking off my rights. You're taking off my taxes. So you shouldn't be protecting those people.
One thing I've always learned is that your rights end when you infringe upon another person's rights. But you guys keep saying you're taking away my rights. What rights have you lost?
Exactly. So if we're going to go there, then I could come. Hey, you don't need a policeman and a firefighter, and you don't need no roads, and you
don't
need
this,
and you don't need that.
I don't need cops. I'll tell you that right now.
Come on.
I got more than a minute, buddy.
We ain't have a society.
Hey, here's the thing. Here's the problem, guys. Your argument is kind of a straw man argument. You're talking about a utopia that does not exist, cannot exist.
What? That doesn't exist.
But, because you're saying that, well, why should at a local level people be allowed to do this, that, and the other? It's true. There's always risk that people will abuse their power. But if you allow that at the federal level, there is no recourse. You see,
we don't have the abuse of power at the federal level that we have at the local level.
It's even worse at the federal level. They're spying on everything.
I don't understand that about
that. No, you may not agree with the power that they're given by the voting constituents. You may not agree with that power that they're given, but they were given that power because let's face it, if the states, hold on, Alex. If the states were getting it right and if everything worked so well, we would still be up under the first governing document, which was the Articles of Confederation. The U.S. Constitution was created to give the federal government more power.
It was to give us power, Diva.
No,
you,
it was not.
Saying.
The federal government had no taxing power, had no collective power to call up troops. They had no ability to get a uniform army. They were dependent completely on the states to provide troops and money. And that's why we had a hard time fighting a Revolutionary War. It's those two factors. And when they realized that this is not going to work, they decided we need a broader government. We need a broader document to make the federal government a little stronger. Was it supposed to get? Did they mean for it to get like this? Some probably did. Some probably did. Because you have to realize there was not. They all did not come from the same ideology. None of those founding fathers who are writing that document all had the same ideology.
You're wrong.
They're the same as we are now. Different ideologies, but they came together and compromised.
Right. You're flat wrong, Diva. You're just wrong.
How am I wrong, Alex?
You're just false.
Why did they go from the Articles of Federation that had all the power to the U.S. Constitution?
Articles of Confederation has Lord have mercy. Okay. The nation was not ratified as so until you have a constitution. And so the constitution was what chartered the country, not the Articles of Confederation.
Articles of Confederation was the first governing document. It was the first type of governing document we had, and it allowed each individual state to govern at will. The federal government had no collective power, really, none. It was up to the states to collect taxes and provide money to the federal government. It was up to the states to provide troops to the federal government when we fought that war. It was so disorganized and dysfunctional that we could have nearly lost that war. And that's why it was a ragtag, difficult war. It was so much bickering, so much confusion, so much. You had some states saying, nope, I don't believe in this. I'm not doing this. So why do we go from one document that governed, that allowed each state to govern their areas as they wanted, to a document that said we had to govern collectively and bring all the states together in a unified manner? Because that first document wasn't working. That gave the states all the power and all the rights. So I'm trying to figure out if that was okay, then why did we go to something that now gave the federal government the ability to build an army, the ability to tax overtime, and the ability – because, I mean, there was nothing in there that stopped them from adding more amendments. There's nothing in there except for if states don't ratify them.
I think
this document allows for the government to grow. You guys keep saying it doesn't,
Alex,
but it
you gotta
does.
Hop in, man.
Okay,
you gotta go.
I think you're glossing over a very important part of history. That see a lot of this happened haphazardly. It was done very quickly because the United States was at, or you know, the newly formed United States was at war. And so even when they inaugurated George Washington, they just flipped to a random page in the Bible and said, you know, and we don't even have recorded exactly what was said. It was just to get the ball moving. And from the very outset, we have these written records that the U.S. Constitution, it was being worked on from the very beginning. In 1776, Madison, Jefferson, they were all, you know, they were in Virginia writing all these things.
Jefferson was against the U.S. Constitution.
No, he's
yes,
the one
he was. Jefferson was not in favor of a centralized government that they were trying to form. He was not. Jefferson is basically your first libertarian state.
He's the
right
one who wrote
side.
It. What are you talking about? He wrote
because
it.
He had no choice, because he felt like if they're going to do this, I want to make sure it's right. That's how we end up getting the Bill of Rights.
Exactly.
He was the main framer of the Bill of Rights. He said, if they're going to do this, I'm going to make sure that I'm going to protect the people. But you had people like, I want to say John Adams, but I could be wrong. John Adams, who was the Secretary of State, the Treasurer under George Washington?
You're thinking Alexander Hamilton, maybe?
Okay, Alexander Hamilton. He wanted a monarchy.
Yeah, because
George Washington, who wanted a Federalist-type system. You had Jefferson, who still wanted a states' rights system.
A lot of them wanted George Washington to be king. We understand that. But the fact of the matter, though, is that from the very beginning, independence was in 1776 when it was declared. And what I'm telling you is that the U.S. Constitution was being written at the same time as the Declaration.
No, it was not.
Yes.
Hold on.
So frustrating.
Let me bring it up.
The first drafts of it went out in the same year, and it just took, because transportation and communications are not as they are today. So it took 12 years for everybody to get all the revisions and edits together and for it to be ratified. But you cannot
deny the fact that the very first document, whether you want to say, everything was so chaotic that they just threw something out there, which was the Articles of Confederation. I agree with that. But the fact of the matter is they also saw that that wasn't working. So what they had to do was come up with something that was going to create a more uniform nation.
Hey, have you ever created a company before?
I created my nonprofit organization.
And so what did you have to write? Didn't you have to write write articles of incorporation?
I had to.
In your state? You have to put, and so are you
No, my articles of incorporation was just basically me filling out an application and filling out paperwork, and then they showed me a certificate.
My point is that there's a section for bylaws and all this stuff. Are you telling
me
that and every company has articles of incorporation, and every state does as well. So are you telling me that companies, all of their all of their policies, procedures, if the articles of incorporation were good, everything would be in that document then. And so that they should have any other policies.
My articles of incorporation and my bylaws are for the collective. It's not for each individual. It's for everyone to come together and to be uniform.
No, see, right. my point is that you have to understand the history of contract.
Alex, I get what you're saying. I completely get what you're saying. But I'm trying to understand how you guys keep this argument that the Constitution was for the little guy, when, in fact, you had an article that actually was more of a state's right article, and then they went to a different document that basically gave the federal government more power, that gave the government power that they never had before.
What you're missing is the history of contract law, because we actually inherited most of this from the English. And articles, like when you have an article of incorporation or of confederation or whatever, that doesn't mean those are your governing documents. That's just – it's just a state.
No. Now you're trying
it's like
to convolute
a rough
draft. The six
no, this
that
is,
was governing document at that
okay.
time.
No, it
That was the document they were going to – they were using at that time to try to form the nation.
Yes, that's what you use
was
to
it
form
perfect?
A nation, just like you form a new company.
Denying that that's what the purpose was that for. What I'm asking is, you guys keep saying that the federal government is out of control and they're growing on their own,
but
the fact remains that the U.S. Constitution – The federal government went from having no power under the Articles of Confederation to gaining power under the U.S. Constitution.
Diva, okay. Look,
going to argue with that. I don't know how you're going to argue under their first governing document. They had the federal government had no power, and then they created a document that gave them power. I don't know how anybody can argue with that.
Listen,
hello.
This is I don't know if what happened to Alex. He might have just put a bullet in his head. I don't know. But listen, the Articles of Confederation looked at it in a general way, in a general sense, is basically just a rough draft for what was to come, hopefully. And that's where the mm-hmm. Constitution came in, because they didn't know how the nation was going to form after a war. They had no idea if states were going to be part of England. They had no idea what that war would look like if they won, if they lost. They had no idea. So really, the Articles of the Confederation was a rough draft for the Constitution, which carries many parts of the Articles of Confederation and many ideas, like states' rights. They still kept that. We still have states' rights. And what states
okay.
pass and
what
don't
I'm
pass.
Saying is, what I'm saying is, and I'm trying to keep this as simple as I possibly can, you had the articles. I get what you guys are saying. It was just a rough draft. It was just the first. Okay, fine. I get that. But what my argument is, you guys try to say the Constitution was not meant to give the federal government its power. What I'm telling you is, how is that possible when under the Articles of Confederation, the federal government had no power? The framers, those who were in leadership, who were in charge of forming the nation and getting the nation to come together, realized this. They realized they had no power. So what they did was they drafted another document that gave themselves more power.
They really didn't have a federal system yet because they were still trying to figure it out.
Of course, they didn't have a federal system at all because the Articles of Confederation gave all the power to the states.
As
the
I
states
said, the Articles of Confederation was a form of governance before they were able, before they even had
exactly.
time
the
to figure
Articles
out
of
what was going on.
The Articles of Confederation basically allowed the states to do what they wanted, to govern their areas how they saw fit. If they wanted to send the federal government money to fight a war, that was their choice. They wanted to send troops to fight a war. That was their choice. And there was nothing
was
the federal government
to
do about it.
To a degree. You have to understand that we had something called the Continental Congress at that time. And the states would go to...
Continental Congress didn't really have any power. That's what I'm trying to tell you guys.
This is
they
where...
Had, the federal government had no power. None. They had no real power.
I'm saying that they did it. It was almost like a gentleman's handshake to figure out what the left hand was going to do with the right hand. That's where they met.
That's different. That is different.
I'm not saying it's the same, Diva. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that they didn't have a system in place because they were still fighting a war. They didn't know what things were going. They didn't have an outcome.
I get that, but you guys are keep saying that the Constitution was not meant for the federal government to grow, and I'm just simply trying to point out, compared to the first governing document they had. These framers and these forefathers that we so proudly attest to, that we applaud and we give honors and accolades to, mm-hmm. they did at their time what Congress is doing now, giving themselves more power. They gave themselves more power.
Used a word. I'm using a different word. You're using the word gave power for the federal government to grow. That's not what it does. What it did was establish.
Did not the government grow? Did not the federal government grow?
It didn't, because there wasn't one, so there was nothing to grow. They had to establish.
Once the Constitution was enacted, did not the federal government start growing? Did
there was
not.
No federal government, so it can't grow. It has to be established first.
It has you okay.
And that's
okay.
What
so under the Articles of Confederation,
about,
it was like
was establishing a government body.
But like Diva said, did anything grow once it was created? Did it grow or it didn't?
Again,
Can you answer the question?
Don't sugarcoat it. Did it grow or didn't it? It's not. But if this, it's either it growed or it didn't.
No, it didn't grow.
What
you're missing is that Articles of Confederation just established that they were a country. That's it. There was no federal government at that point.
Right.
The federal government grew. Government came to be under the United States Constitution.
Exactly.
Right.
Okay.
Constitution.
And it grew out from there. So before then, we had no federal government.
That's
We had basically...
Because we were fighting a war, we didn't even know if we were going to be a country at all. We
okay,
were still
but still, they were still trying to establish a government. They were still trying to establish, get a coalition, get something together so that we could be unified. We were still considered the colonies. And it was the colonies against the British government.
Right. Listen, we're not saying that it wasn't setting up or establishing a government entity,
okay.
Which is what it was for. We agree on that.
Okay, so what I'm simply
but
pointing
not,
out is that you guys
on,
keep talking about...
What I'm saying.
Okay, I'm
let
sorry, Matt. Go ahead.
It didn't... The Constitution established a government, which a country has to have a government. There has to be some orderly thing, and that's what the Constitution did. But it did not give federal power to do nothing but gross existentially without any stoppage, and that's where states' rights come in. And
that's
power.
Not what I was saying. I was not saying that it gave it existential power to just do whatever. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that if not for the U.S. Constitution, we would not have a federal government. We would just have each state being able to govern as they saw fit.
Exactly.
Diva, but that makes no sense, okay? Because...
But that's the truth. It makes no sense, but that's the truth of the matter. That's how it was in the very beginning. So if you want to go back to
the beginning, of any country. Like, look at Egypt. When they toppled down, what's his name, Mubarak's government, they filed a Articles of Confederation until they got their constitution together, and they're still working it out.
Okay.
But that's the natural process of any new country.
Okay, I get that that's the natural process, but I'm just trying to understand your state right argument and your libertarian argument. Because why if the forefathers, the framers, did not intend to give the federal government any power or to establish a federal government, why didn't they not just create some type of or expand on the Articles of Confederation to where the states continue to have all the power? Because you had taxation grow out of the U.S. Constitution, because they could not form, they could not do what they're doing now or what they did under the Articles of Confederation. They did not have the power to tax. They did not have the power to employ an army. They did not have the power to govern the states collectively. They didn't have any of that power. The states were
no
basically, they could have established, they could have just said, okay, under the Articles of Confederation, we're going to establish governors for each state, and each state has the power to govern as they will.
Then you would have,
to me what the libertarians want.
Diva, if that was the case, then you would have just had 13 separate countries instead of one entity known as the United States of America. Okay?
Not necessarily. Because you could have had...
Yes, because if you're just giving... If it's just nothing but state powers with no centralized organization, like a government, then you have 13 separate countries because they govern
exactly.
themselves.
That's why I don't have a problem with centralized government.
Oh, that was good. That was a good way to twist that.
That wasn't a good... I'm trying to understand from the libertarian and small and states' right perspective. I'm not arguing in favor of what they did. I'm just trying to understand you guys' argument because I'm like, when I look at the U.S. Constitution, I see how them forming a federal government to bring all the colonies together under one nation and form this nation, I could see how they didn't put anything in there to stop it from growing. Did they mean for it to get out of hand like they did? No, because you had, even at that time, you had congressmen who were... who are basically doing whatever their constituents were doing and not doing what was best for the nation or the state that they were supposed to represent.
Diva, the provisions are in there, but the problem is that the people in Congress ignore the Constitution. So the provisions are there because the federal government
they have the power to amend.
The federal government isn't supposed to do anything that's not explicitly stated in the Constitution. But all these laws like the Affordable Care Act and all this stuff is all unconstitutional because Congress just ignores the Constitution. And so what we need to do is find a remedy for when
the
government
ignores the Constitution.
What about
the Affordable Health Care Act goes against the Constitution?
The government has no right to force people to buy anything. The government
can't force them to buy. You don't have to buy it. You don't have to buy it.
No, you have to buy. You have to buy health insurance. You have to buy health insurance.
Supreme Court rules. You can. You do not have to buy it. However, they can tax you for not having something. That's the problem with the Constitution is the federal government gave itself taxation power. So now they can tax you for whatever they want to tax you for under the Constitution. So they're not saying, look, you got to have this. And if you don't have it, we're going to throw you in jail. Nope, they're just saying, look, you don't have to buy it, but we're going to tax you. We're going to penalize you for not having it.
So in other words, you're going to pay money for health insurance, whether you have it or whether you don't. It's still health insurance, and it's taxed.
You can't say it's unconstitutional.
It is. Where in the Constitution does it say that the federal government has to oversee health care? It explicitly states
nothing in the Constitution to prevent that. Nothing in the Constitution to prevent the federal government from overseeing health care.
Diva, Alex,
I would answer your question with the Constitution saying that the pursuit of happiness, I think healthcare should be part of the pursuit of happiness. Because if you don't have your health, you're not going to be happy. You have no happiness. Take out the health of any human being, you're done. You're done.
Go ahead, Alex. I got an answer
for
that.
You're done.
You're stretching.
I'm not stretching. If you take out the health of any human being, Alex, you're done.
In the Declaration of Independence. That's not in the U.S. Constitution.
Sorry.
Here's the thing. If an amendment is passed saying that we need to cover health care, I have no problem with it because then it becomes constitutional. But, see, 100 years ago, or not even that long, when they passed the Prohibition Act to ban alcohol, they knew then that it had to be a constitutional amendment, which is why there was an amendment passed for the prohibition. But
because
now,
there was a legal issue. There's a criminality aspect to it. They were trying to throw people in jail for drinking. They were trying to throw people in jail for drinking and selling alcohol.
Listen,
that's different.
Hold on. Listen, please. What I'm saying is that at that time, the people at least understood that the government cannot make these sweeping laws without changing the Constitution. Today, fast forward, 80 years, now we don't feel the need for an amendment to do these sweeping laws, and that is the problem.
Because, Alex, like I was trying to explain to you, when you look at what they were doing under Prohibition, they were making it illegal to buy, sell, and drink alcohol. They were throwing people in jail, meaning they were infringing on people's rights. Whereas the Health Care Act,
they
can't throw you in jail for it. The Supreme Court already ruled you cannot criminalize a person for not making it a criminal act for not having health care. However, what they did do is say the federal government can tax you for whatever you want. If they want to tax you for looking cute, if they want to tax you for going to a tanning salon and get a tan, they can do it. The federal government now has the authority to tax you on whatever they want. You may not like it, but under the Constitution, they have the authority to do so. And so now what they're doing is they're saying, look, we want everybody to have health care. We cannot make it a criminal act for you. We cannot throw you in jail for not having it. But what we're going to do is we're going to encourage you to have it by taxing you for not having it.
Hey, let me hop in here for –
you still can't say it's unconstitutional.
Let me hop in here for 1 second.
It's very constitutional.
One second. I need to correct something that Stanley said earlier. Stanley, are you still listening? All right. Never mind. Go ahead.
No, I'm here. Sorry.
Okay.
I'm here. Sorry.
When you brought up the life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, first of all, that's not in the Constitution. That's in the Declaration of Independence. Second of all, when it says pursuit of happiness, that is an individual right for you to have a path to be able to make yourself successful.
The question I
want to
ask you as a person is, how can you have the pursuit of happiness when you don't have health?
Well, it's
how can you have the pursuit of happiness?
Pursuit.
I would say the same thing. How could you have the pursuit of happiness if you don't have
health? Right now, you cannot pursue happiness when you are sick and struggling to pay those exuberant.
Exactly.
Medical.
How could you have the pursuit of happiness if you don't have a job and you don't have health? Tell me how you could have the pursuit of happiness.
Because the path is there for you to take, Stanley.
There's no path there. You have no help.
Someone else walking
what
your path to your health. How am I going to get well if
I
can't
pay for the
services that needed to get well?
I almost died 3 years ago, and I barely graduated high school, And the last time I had a minimum wage job was I was 17. I'm almost making six figures now because I chose the path, and I had nobody paying. I had nobody paying for
my
health care.
How did you get well? When you said you almost died, what happened to where that did not happen?
Yeah.
Where I didn't die?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I made sure that I had health insurance. That's one. And I have a great family that I helped to create and make that was around me that helped me to get better.
Let's take your first premise, which is you had health insurance. What happened if you don't have any insurance because the insurance company says no because they have a whole article saying, oh, sorry, sir, you have this thing, and in our list, we don't want to insure you.
There's a good chance
because
I would
have
died.
Think you shouldn't be covered for that. And you call
What's the solution? There's a good chance I would have died. I had the path. Before I got sick, to be able to be responsible with my own life, and I had health insurance. So I was provided the path, and I knew that. I took it. Otherwise,
okay, but you skipped the first thing that I said. Some people did the same thing that you did, and when they came to the insurance, they didn't cover them.
I would need to meet these people and see what they're
doing. Okay. So are you saying to me that company, you didn't read the report of what
they
did?
I'm
going
to tell you right now. Before the Affordable Health Care Act passed, it would have been very, very difficult for me to get insurance now, especially with the fact that I'm thankful that I was diagnosed with cancer after the Affordable Care Act passed, because I know plenty of people. When my uncle was diagnosed with cancer, it was very, very difficult for them to get him insured. And when he was insured, his premium was like $800 a month. And he only had like 6 months to live.
You know, Diva, my problem with this whole thing is that people misuse the term insurance. What you're looking for isn't insurance. You're looking for someone to pay for it. And that's not insurance.
To be honest with you, I think as taxpayers, we're giving the federal government all of our money. We need to get something in return. If I'm paying taxes, why do on top of that I have to pay high costs for health insurance? Yes, I want some return on my money. Why do I have to pay these exorbitant costs to go to school? What am I paying the federal government for then? I'm paying the federal government for someone else to get health care that can't afford it? Well, why can't I use my own tax dollars to get free health care? I don't understand why you guys just don't look at it like that. You guys are so against universal health care.
Because it's not free. After it's passed, now my health care has increased by $1,000 every month.
If you get rid of this system as it is and go to a single-payer system, I mean, if you're going to pay taxes, why not ask for, like, give me something in return if I'm paying taxes?
Because
I want some free health care. Why does somebody doesn't pay taxes
to
get free health care?
Because the quality of health care goes down in that instance. The quality of health care always goes down. You can look at Canada,
I find that hard to believe.
Australia,
because they've always said that about Medicaid and...
And Medicare and all the stuff that happens and everything.
Well,
it's
your patriotic duty to pay taxes.
It's
your patriotic duty. I didn't say that. Ask the Vice President of the United States. He's the one who said that.
Well, come on. Here's the thing. Why do we always take what politicians say? I take what they say with a grain of salt. They're politicians. They're trying to
get votes. Those are the ones who are forming the policies and writing the legislation.
Then they tell me it's my patriotic duty to have a gun or buy a gun. I don't get mad that they say that. I'm just like, okay, they're just speaking to a certain group of people who will buy into that.
Well,
I don't get
mad. Why don't I get a return on my taxes? You say, I don't see that. I'm just telling you that the people that are writing the legislation think that you are a free bag of money that they can just take from whenever.
Oh, yeah,
that's
you're right.
Things like it's your patriotic duty so that they can cut their ass. Sorry.
You're right. You're right, Matt. But why don't we, instead of fighting each other and fighting over these stupid ideologies, because you guys think universal health care is so evil, I just look at it as a taxpayer. As a taxpayer, you pay all these taxes, and on top of that, you got to pay for cost of living. I mean, you should be getting something out of it. Poor people who don't pay taxes getting something. Why can't taxpayers get something? But they're so afraid of socialism
No,
and they think that every other country around the world are all jealous and all coming and everything. I wish there was a neutral study of universal health care and not all the barrage that I'm hearing everybody saying, oh, this and that happened. Why don't we have a real study of a neutral team that would study, let's see, universal health care. Let's see, there are some stuff that are good in universal health care, and there's some stuff that are good in the United States. But don't act like everything is bad universal health care and everything is good for United States. It's wrong. It's not the truth.
Alex, you were saying?
Well, I mean, obviously our system is flawed. It's bad. But I think that the answer, my issue with universal health care or the ACA, I should say, is that it doesn't address the problem. The problem is not the health insurance companies. They are doing the best that they can to manage costs with... listen to me. They're doing the best that they can to manage costs. Have you ever seen these bills that come out of these hospitals and doctors? Now, you pay your little premium every month, but they're supposed to be stuck with thousands of dollars from these medical centers. And then people get mad at them, but not the medical centers, the medical professionals, how they're gouging the system as well. These pharmaceutical
companies.
It's not the insurance companies that are the problem, and that's my issue with this whole thing.
I think we had this conversation.
The root of the problem.
We had this talk before, Alex, a couple of weeks ago when I brought up the fact that we're having the wrong conversation in the country. We should be talking about why costs are so damn much that we wouldn't have to worry about.
Why are the costs high? And that's why I was telling, and I've said it before, you have to introduce free market principles into this. If they didn't have medical licensure that restricted anybody else from practicing medicine, then other viable remedies will be able to come out. The cost of healthcare would be cut in half within a year, guaranteed.
Let me ask you guys a question. Okay, you guys, I'm not paying taxes at the moment anymore because I'm not working. Now, you guys are taxpayers, and no, I'm not receiving government assistance, by the way, except for my Medicaid. You guys are taxpayers, actual taxpayers, meaning you pay taxes. You don't get credits where you end up with a refund. You pay taxes. Why is it that you're so against your health care being paid for through your tax dollars instead of you having to pay out of pocket yourself?
Because I would encourage you, because you seem like an avid learner, and so I would encourage you to just do a little bit of reading into Austrian economics. There's the Ludwig von Mises Institute. There's also learnliberty.com. But basically, Austrian economics, whenever the government gets involved in something, the prices go up. The only thing, if our tax dollars goes into it, it's just going to increase the cost of healthcare. It's just basic economics. And so it's not going to help anyone. It's just going to become more of a tax burden. Costs are going to go up, and everyone's quality of care is going to go down.
We were looking at the ten freest economies in the world, and the top 10 were basically all the places that have socialized medicine, universal health care. They pay high taxes for it, but they
They were the top 10. Yes, we did. We went through the list, Alex. It was the top 10, and we were all asking the same question. Those are all social countries. How come they're paying all taxes, but they're
no,
very
they're not
economic?
Socialist countries. They're capitalist countries, but they have social programs, and they have a large centralized government.
Yeah, and they were paying all high taxes, and we all asked that question. Yeah.
So you think Hong Kong and Singapore are socialized? I mean, get real.
They have, well, no, I didn't say all of them, but I said a good majority of them, like Australia.
Yeah.
What was it?
Germany.
Let me bring up the 10.
Canada. So, you know, we could go through the list, you know.
I
just have to get with those three examples.
Again.
Germany, Australia, Canada. Come on.
Hey, again, you have
very high taxes. Very,
again,
very high taxes.
Again, I would recommend a little bit of study of Austrian economics and look at Germany is sustained, I want to say 20, you know, I want to say 20%, but a lot of their economy is propped up from, there's like six U.S. military bases in that country, and so we're sending billions over there being.
But we could say the same thing.
But the fact
still
remains
Alex,
is that they still
Alex.
Have a large centralized government. They still have a capital. They still have a capitalist economic system, but they also believe in social.
You have to look
program.
At the whole picture. America America does not have any other countries propping us up.
Alex,
propping us up.
Yeah, but Alex, I could say the same thing. If I take an example like the iPhone, and they even showed it statistically, we get only 6% of all the money when it comes to the iPhone. 40% goes to China.
Okay, now can I just bring this up really quick? One thing, you have, like Alex said, you got to look at things across the board. And in these other countries, number one, I'm not sure about cost of healthcare there. I've never looked at what it costs, for healthcare over in these other countries. So that's one thing we got to look at. Also, is the quality of care. America seems to get an influx of people from these other countries that want to get care here. And that says something to me, saying that these other countries aren't being able to deliver proper medical care, or at least medical care that they don't want, for a certain reason. What's the reason for that? Is the competition
stomped out? And that's a great question.
Why do our medical care depend on your wealth in this country? I mean, I'm sorry, that just seems unfair to me. The richer you are, the better health care you get.
My medical care
that doesn't make any sense to me. Even as a Christian, that does not make any sense to me that money is more important than a person's overall health and life.
I didn't have that experience with mine. I mean, I wasn't making the jack I am today back when I had my surgery and my what I went through. I wasn't rich by any means, and I still got pretty quality medical care.
You know what's interesting to me, though, is that I hear you, Diva, but to me, I just feel like neither Democrats or Republicans, they claim to be Christians, but they're really not. Because when you had a candidate like Ron Paul that said, we need to follow the golden rule of Jesus Christ and treat other people the way that we want to be treated, he got booed. And so
I didn't boo him.
Ron
Paul's just a little too out there in some of his ideals that I can't get behind him. Gary Johnson, I might could swing his way, but Ron Paul, I'm sorry, he's just got some too. Everything about him, I just can't get on board. So he scares me a little.
There's some sort of Ron Paul. I agree when he was talking about the Iraq War that he said, "How would you feel if another country bombed your place?" And then we're surprised that 9/11 happened to us, and he got booed for that too. I remember that debate when he said that.
He was saying a lot of good things. But
he's
then
like
when you put him down
for
101, he just goes in another direction, and he scares me as a president.
He's right 99% of the time, but you're scared of him because of 1%.
No, I don't think he's right 99% of the time. He's right about certain ideals, but how he would implement certain things, I just can't get on board with him. Like, I agree, the Federal Reserve does need to be audited. It needs to be held more accountable. But when it gets down to state rights issues, that's where I differ from him.
And I'm sorry, and what Ron Paul said during that Iraq War, whatever, and everything, General Wright said the same thing. He said, look, you're surprised that we got attacked and everything. And everybody said, look, he's anti-American. And then they associated Obama because he was his pastor. But General Wright said the same thing as Ron Paul. Except he was doing it in a church, but he was saying the same thing. Don't be surprised of the goose that's attacking us and everything. You attacked them for a long time, and then you're surprised that you got attacked. That was the whole thing.
Everybody said you're anti-American when you said that. Quick chronological, I just want to make sure you're on board here. You're aware 9/11 happened before the Iraq War, right?
Yes.
No, but the first Iraq War.
First Iraq. I'm talking about after that. I'm talking about the other one. I'm talking about what we did. When General Wright did that speech and everybody was freaking out, and Ron Paul said the same thing and everybody booed him, and everybody's, we heard it in this show that everybody, look, he's an anti-American because he's associated with Jerry Wright. Really?
All right, sorry, I got that. All right, you're right, go ahead. Well, not you're right, but I'm...
Alex, I just want to say I am going to look into Austrian economics. Do you have any sources that I could go to specifically, or just...
Yeah, the Ludwig von Mises Institute.
All right, that's what I'm on right now.
Mises.org, M-I-S-E-S.org, and learnliberty.com, all one word.
So Alex, you believe in the trickle-down economy or trickle-up economy? You prefer you like Reagan, what he did, or you think he was wrong, or you like
Reagan
was doing it?
No.
Yeah.
Reagan was a failure. Reagan was a failure.
He wasn't even old enough. He's younger than me, Stanley.
Damn.
I'm teasing.
but for the first time I'm hearing liberals saying Reagan's a failure because every conservative talks like Reagan's God.
Reagan is the reason why. See, Reagan is the reason why we have high fructose corn syrup in all of our food. I can go on about Reagan. He was a big government guy. I mean, yeah, he cut taxes, which increased the our tax revenue, but he just turned around and just spent more money. That's why I say Republicans and they're the same.
Thank you.
He just turned around and just kept spending more money. He wasn't conservative.
See,
all
I could
do
go
is give money to. He cut taxes to get more tax revenue, and then once he got it, he gave the money to all of his corporate friends. So he's a failure.
This is unfair because I think we only got like 4 minutes left here, and you're going to start that, Stanley. Thanks a lot. Because I wouldn't mind going back and forth with Alex a little bit. He could give me an education, I'm sure, but I'd like to...
No, I'll ask him. I'll ask him in the next show because the trickle-down economy, we need to find out which economy is better. Is it a trickle-down or trickle-up? I think it comes from the bottom.
Stanley, you got to give me your number. I don't even know how I'm going to do that, but you got to give me your number.
Trickle-down doesn't work. It doesn't work.
If trickle down doesn't work, how the hell? So why? If trickle down, how do we fix this economy?
You need a free market economy.
me being employed in most of my capacities, I have a problem with that because I see how people mismanage and I see how greed runs rampant in places. I see how a manager, a CEO will cut hours, his employees' hours around a specific time just so that they can increase their bonuses. That's not right.
I think that if you have a good economy, that won't happen because what we're talking about is the effects of a bad economy. If there's a good economy, no smart businessman is going to cut his employees' hours because he's going to be cutting his own throat. And so what we're arguing about is who's shuffling their crap better. Why, you know, and instead of getting crap.
Oh, you just broke up.
Why can't we have these civil discussions all the time? This is a nice, good back and forth. This is pretty good.
It was good, but I got to go, guys. I'll catch up to you later in the week, I'm sure.
I got to go, too. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Thanks, Alex, Matt, Stanley.
All right.
Sure. Later, guys.